NAR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
You'll have to work. And what if you have to keep your children separated from one another? And what if now your child care is basically out the window because you don't know if it's COVID-19 or whether it's the flu? If it's just the flu, then you can still have your parents over. If it's the flu, you can still have your nanny over. But if it's not, then everybody is out, and suddenly you're on your own. Okay, well, that would be my situation if somebody here came down with the symptoms. Those situations are happening all over the United States. People having an inability, like, do you go to work? Do you not go to work? Do you stay home? How exactly do you separate off members of your family? How about what if your parents want to visit? Right, how do you deal with all of this? Okay, the bottom line is lack of testing means tremendous lack of clarity, and that has incredible ripple effects across the entire system. Okay, so all of this is being undertaken, presumably, as I've mentioned 1,000 times before, presumably all of this is being undertaken so that we can flatten the curve. And so I'm going to show you this chart one more time. I'm going to draw it by hand. Okay, here is the chart that we are supposedly pursuing right now. Here is the supposed curve of cases. The high curve is the curve of supposed cases in the possibility that we don't do anything to flatten the curve. Everybody just goes out and they do what they want to do. The line is medical capacity, so that would be the beds, that would be the tests, that would be the ventilators, that would be the ICU beds, right? All the things that you possibly, the masks, right? That would be the medical capacity. And then this flattened curve is supposedly what is going to happen if we stay home and if we all lock down and if we all involve ourselves in social distancing, right? This is sort of the happy charts that has been presented to you by the media as well as by the Trump administration. So across the board, this is the chart that is being used. The problem is that there are two questions about this chart that people have yet to answer. Question number one, is the line actually here or is the line down here? Okay, because if the line of medical capacity is not actually over that shallow curve, if, as it turns out, you could flatten the curve and the medical capacity line is still all the way down here at the dotted line, it ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. You can flatten the curve, and just as many people are going to die. And so you will have shut down the economy to no effect, which is why what I've been saying is the entire purpose of what we are doing right now is to raise the line from this dotted line to this top line, is to raise medical capacity. So what exactly are the plans to do that, guys? And floating hospital ships ain't going to do it. Adding 1,000 beds by floating a Navy ship off the coast ain't going to cover it. Okay, adding a few thousand ventilators is not going to cover it. If what we are being told is true, that this thing is super transmissible and super deadly, and all of that is true, we need a radical escalation in the number of beds. Well, those are the sorts of estimates that the government should be giving us right now. Have you heard anything from the federal government or from the state governments in terms of their prospectus, in terms of increasing capacity? You've heard some numbers floating around. You've heard that there are more masks floating around, but you're not seeing that on the ground. You've heard that there are more ventilators floating around, but you are not actually seeing that in the hospitals so far as I'm aware. You've heard that more ICU beds are being built. But so far, I've yet to see any evidence that massive new numbers of ICU beds are being built. So if we are not increasing this dotted line to this top line, it will not matter whether or not you flatten the curve. More on that in a moment. You may have noticed that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Has there ever been a better time to have a device that will help you freeze and preserve food for the future? I mean, literally, there are people who are creating runs on grocery stores right now. You may not be able to control world events, but you can control how you prepare for world events. First, recommendation, get a Harvestrite home freeze dryer, like right now. Harvestrite makes it easy for you to preserve food that can be used in good times or in bad. With Harvestrite's simple-to-use appliances, you can freeze-dry nearly any food directly in your own home, even my favorites like blueberries and ice cream and my wife's Moroccan chili, as you've heard about. Delicious. I believe a Harvestrite home freeze-dryer is one of the best, most responsible purchases you may ever make. With it, you can literally create your own customized emergency food supply. Even though the future can be a bit uncertain, with Harvestrite, you can give your family peace of mind. Learn about this amazing home innovation at HarvestRite.com or give them a call at 800-813-1524. That's 800-813-1524. HarvestRite.com. Again, that is HarvestRite.com. What more could you need to promote the idea that you need something to help you preserve food than, like, what's going on in the world right at this moment? HarvestRite home freeze dryers can help you out. HarvestRite.com, 800-813-1524. Okay, then there is the second problem. The second problem is that, as you see, this chart conveniently ends at the right side of this piece of paper, right? At the, for you, the right side of this piece of paper. Okay, the chart conveniently ends there. What if, however, this chart does not end there? And what I mean by that is, let's say that you release the lockdown procedures. And so now we are going to draw a version of this chart that has a longer timeline. Okay, so you have the original curve, you have the line, and then you have the flattened curve, and then everybody is let out. What if the chart instead looks like this? Okay, so in this chart, for those who cannot see, you still have that same big spike. It rises above the medical capacity. Then you have the chart that we've been shown, which typically is said to end somewhere around here, right, where my pen is, right? This is where the chart always ends when you see it in the media and when you see it in the media and when you see it from the White House, right? The chart always ends at the pen, that there's going to be a lower curve. It's going to somehow be below the level of medical capacity, and therefore everybody is going to live. What happens if that's not what happens? What I mean by this is that what happens if, in fact, you let everybody out of confinement and instead of everything petering out the way it did on chart number one, right, on the right side of this chart, it peters out at the very end. Everybody lives along. Happiness abounds. Everything is great. Prince Charming goes home with Snow White. Everything's fantastic. What if instead of that, you end up with everybody comes out of confinement and boom, secondary spike, which is exactly what you are currently seeing in Singapore. You're starting to see it in Hong Kong. You're starting to see it in Taiwan. What if when you release the lockdown measures, it turns out people go out and infect each other anyway? And so you end up with a secondary spike that actually is close to as high as the first spike, except there's still not herd immunity, and you've not really raised your medical capacity. So what that means is that what we really need to be looking at is how do we raise our medical capacity to this dotted line? How do we get our medical capacity up from what is the current, even if you think current is sustainable, to the upper dotted line? So question for the government, what is your plan? What is your plan? And if you don't have a plan, why are we doing any of this? Seriously, that is the big question. If we do not have a plan, I said this yesterday, I am fine with locking things down so long as there is a plan to raise the level of medical capacity, so long as there is a plan for applying treatment, so long as we know that when we are let out of confinement, that we are actually going to live in a world in which if you come down with COVID-19, you don't end up in a non-ICU bed with a non-ventilator. You don't end up dying on your couch, right? As long as that is the case, as long as they are increasing capacity, then we can take a two-week break. Yes, it'll be brutal. Yes, it will be terrible. But, and it can't be interminable, right? We can't do this for a month. We can't do this for 2 months. That's not a thing that can happen. But the key right now is we are not hearing anything, like word one, from anyone in the government about how they plan. What do those numbers look like? We keep hearing estimates, top-level estimates. 1.1 million die if we let everybody out of confinement. Okay, do you have a plan for 500,000 ICU beds? Like, what exactly is your plan here? By the way, that's the one factor that the government supposedly can control. The government can't actually control the rate of transmission. The government can do that for a temporary period of time, but people are going to leave their houses. People are going to go back to work. It's all fun and games until you lose your job, because as much as the government says they're going to float these small businesses loans and all of this, small businesses cannot survive simply paying employees to be sick without any stream of income and knowing that there's going to be a recovery on the other side of this, because the government doesn't just the economy doesn't just snap back in place immediately upon the end of this thing, people are going to have to go out again. All those restaurants that have been shut down, you think their clientele is going to come back day one, or do you think that people are more likely to order takeout for another year before a vaccine is developed? All of these entertainment areas where people are getting together in crowds, do you think people are going to go to MLB ball games? They're going to go to the NCAA? Do you think that people are going to go out into major crowds? Like Disneyland will take a hit for 2 years following this, minimum. Right? Do you think that all of that revenue is going to simply reappear, or are companies going to have to lay people off because of all this? So you can say you're going to fill everybody's pocket with $500 or $1,000, but guess what? That's going to pay for like a month, like 1 month. And if you extend it for 2 months, maybe 2 months. And so with this government lockdown comes the possibility, and this is what freedom-minded Americans should be thinking about too, with that possibility comes the possibility of permanent, huge-scale government in our lives not going away. Because if the government causes the crisis and the government becomes the solution to the crisis and the crisis does not abate, then the government just becomes a permanent feature of our life and the economy doesn't go back to normal. Now, again, all of this is an argument worth having if and only if there is a plan to save lives. But if the plan to save lives does not kick in, if all that's happening here is the government marking time until they let us all out of confinement, we infect each other anyway, and all the old people die, then what exactly are we doing here? So how about some clarity? The only clarity we've seen so far is the government demonstrating that it can control our lives. Well, we knew that already. We've seen no clarity on how the government plans to actually lower the death rates. Okay, yes, we can, again, we can flatten that curve, but There are two real problems with the flatten the curve scenario. One is if our medical capacity is actually not where the chart says it is all the way down here. If our medical capacity is way lower than they say it is, then people are still going to die, and all we've done is wreck the economy to no avail. Or possibility number two, there's a secondary spike, which is what most doctors are saying there is going to be in the fall anyway. In which case, if you have not raised capacity by then we're screwed all, anyway, right? And all you've done is shut down the world economy to achieve pretty much absolutely nothing. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that we need plans from the government. How are you going to maximize the ICU beds? How are you going to maximize the masks? How are you going to maximize the ventilators? What are you going to do to bring this to an end? If you have no plan to end it, then you delaying things and marking time and buying time is not buying time to any effect, right? Then you're in the situation that we were. Yes, President Trump shut down travel from China. That was a good move. I am very happy that President Trump shut down travel from China. That was designed to buy us, what, a month or two? And in that month or two, how'd we do? Did we increase the number of ICU beds? No. Did we increase the number of ventilators? No. Did we increase the amount of testing? No. So what good was it? It was some good. It slowed it. But the slowing of it is only good if you don't end up with the spike that we are now attempting to forestall. So we're going to get to more of this in just one second. We're going to talk some worst-case scenarios, some best-case scenarios. We're going to talk about the government shutting down the entire economy and whether that is sustainable or not. Plus, we're going to get to at least several senators involved in what looks like insider trading. On the back, I mean, just horrible, horrible stuff. You want to destroy faith in capitalism and faith in government at the same time, this is pretty much how you do it. We'll get to that in just one second. First, a word from our sponsor.
For 40 years, Delta Rescue has given dedication and everlasting love to animals. And its founder, Leo Grillo, left Hollywood to devote his life to saving animals abandoned in the wilderness. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. And by being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for thousands of dogs, cats, and horses. Please join me in supporting my friend Leo and Delta Rescue. Only your life-saving gift is what allows Delta to fulfill its mission to save these animals, and these animals need your help. For information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit deltarescue.org/grace and request my free estate planning package and learn about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well on into the future. Go to deltarescue.org/grace, and you will also learn how to get a free copy of my brand-new book, Grace Canceled. That's deltarescue.org/grace. DeltaRescue.org/grace.
Coming up, we're going to talk best case and worst case scenarios for the United States in this coronavirus pandemic. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of...
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
Reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So believe it or not, Nicholas Kristof, who usually is not very good, actually has a quite informative column over at the New York Times about the best case and worst case scenarios for coronavirus. Okay, so what are the best case scenarios and the worst case scenarios here? So Nicholas Kristof, believe it or not, has a pretty good column at the New York Times talking about this. Best case scenario is the possibility that the virus mutates and actually dies out. Dr. Larry Brilliant, I hope aptly named, an epidemiologist who is a young doctor was part of the fight to eradicate smallpox, explained that only in movies do viruses seem to become worse over time. SARS and MERS both petered out. That is possible here. COVID-19 will not survive is my hope, said Dr. Charles Prober, a professor at Stanford Medical School. China is reporting not a single new case of domestic transmission. Now, there are serious doubts about whether China is lying or not. If ever in doubt, China is lying. China lied to the WHO, and the WHO believed them. This is why when you hear prescriptions from the WHO, or their takes on life, the WHO, you should really take that with a major grain of salt. With that said, according to Nicholas Kristof, Singapore would be the best-case scenario where everything is sort of shut down for a while and then you go back to a more open society. Tom Inglesby, expert on pandemics at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, said the fact that Singapore, Hong Kong, Taiwan, South Korea, and China, and to some extent Japan, have all flattened their curves despite having the initial onslaught of cases should give us some hope we can sort out what they're doing well and emulate it. Washington State seems to have been stabilizing. The weather may also help us because some respiratory viruses decline in summer from a combination of higher temperatures and people not being huddled together. So it's possible that Northern Hemisphere nations enjoy a summer break before a second wave in the fall. Okay, that is the second wave is what I'm worried about, and I think most epidemiologists are worried about, is what happens when you release people from confinement. Even if this thing goes away during the summer, if it comes back with a vengeance during the fall, it can be super damaging. The Spanish influenza, which, by the way, you know how ridiculous it is that our political world, somebody went on Wikipedia and just changed it to the 1918 flu because they wanted to forestall Trump's argument that you can say Spanish flu so you can say Chinese virus. Anyway, the goal would be that maybe this thing dies out. It loses sort of its fire and its flair. Also, the death rates, I've been saying this for weeks and I've been criticized for it, the death rates that were being put out there by the WHO were just not real. In South Korea and in China, outside Hubei province, about 8.8% of those known to be infected died. That rate was 0.6% on a cruise ship. I talked about all of this weeks ago. That's not to suggest the virus isn't dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's significantly more dangerous than the flu. It is to suggest that people who are suggesting that, you know, 4% of people who get it are going to die, that was not true. About 4 out of 5 people known to have had the virus had only mild symptoms. Even among those older than 90 in Italy, 78% survived. 2/3 of those who died in Italy had pre-existing medical conditions and were elderly, and 99% had pre-existing conditions. Dr. Tara Smith, epidemiologist at Kent State, said, "I'm not pessimistic. I think this can work." She said it will take 8 weeks of social distancing to have a chance to slow the virus. Success will depend on people changing behaviors and on hospitals not being overrun. And that's what I've been saying about increasing that medical capacity. Now, there's the worst case scenario. Dr. Neil Ferguson, a British epidemiologist, he said he produced a sophisticated model that showed a worst case of 2.2 million deaths in the United States. His best case scenario, according to Nicholas Kristof, is 1.1 million deaths, which is obviously frightening as all hell. The hope that the U.S. can emulate Singapore or South Korea could be a leap, because South Korea took the epidemic really seriously. They have tremendously effective testing. It's very widespread. We are still, as I've mentioned, way behind in testing. In California, the governor has now announced that we are in a state of lockdown. Gavin Newsom on Thursday night ordered 40 million residents to stay home except for essential trips, extending similar restrictions statewide Bay Area counties have previously enacted. One of the serious questions about this particularly is, number one, whether it's effective. Number two, whether it is designed to achieve the goals that they say it's designed to achieve, meaning how can you lock people down this long? We will see how long people abide by it, because you cannot tell people interminably to stay in their homes again, especially as the economy dies and these jobs do not come back. It's very easy for the government to say we're going to freeze everything in place. None of these jobs will die. That is just not true. These are major systemic changes taking place throughout our economy, and they have significant, significant ramifications. Newsom said this is not a permanent state. It's a moment in time. Okay, well, then we need to know how long the moment's going to last, or what your estimate of the moment is going to be. I was talking to panicked friends last night who have businesses in the state of California, and now those businesses simply will not run because nobody can go into the office. And this order, by the way, from Newsom is supposed to last until April 19th, okay, a full month. How long do you think this is actually going to last? Now, we're now in the Star Wars scenario. As Princess Leia says, the more you tighten your grip, Vader, the more star systems, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers, right? This is where we are. The more the government tightens its grip, the more there's going to be pushback against all of that, particularly as these losses mount. I mean, we're hearing that we may lose this week over 2 million jobs in the American economy. We are hearing estimates that the economy may contract up to 20% in Q2. 1/5 of the American economy, poof, disappears at the behest of the American government. So as they say, you want to make the case that we ought to do that? I need to hear a very strong case as to how this is going to prevent deaths. It is not enough to say that we're doing it to prevent deaths. I want to see the plan for preventing the deaths. I want to know how many beds you're creating, how many ventilators you're creating. I want to know how you plan to stop the flow of this virus when we all go back outside after a month and when half of us don't have jobs. Really, I mean, and by the way, all of the Republican relief efforts or Democratic relief efforts are not going to fix this problem. They're not. The best you can do at this point is provide floating loans to the banks to not call in their bridge loans to businesses, back the commercial paper window, for example. But at a certain point, people are not going to buy American bonds. And number two, what makes everybody think there's going to be a V-shaped recovery? The longer these businesses are out, the less a chance there is that these businesses ever go back in. If you spent your life savings to purchase a rib joint, and now you've been running that rib joint for 10 years, and the government just shut it down, and shut down every restaurant across the country, effectively, do you think that's coming back anytime soon, and that a $1,000 a month check is going to suffice? It is not. And by the way, economics is real life. When people say, well, you're choosing the economy over real life, no. Economics is real life. It is people's jobs. It is people's livelihoods. It is how people live. It is the suicidality rate. It is the sense of community. This is not to argue that we should be weighing the economy against human life. This is arguing that we should always take the tack that is most likely to preserve human life, and that would also include human quality of life. This is not an argument we should let everybody out right now. I've not made that argument anywhere in here. Instead, the argument I'm making is if you are going to do the most restrictive thing any American government has ever done in the history of the United States to the American people, right? We're not in wartime here, right? It's a virus. If you are going to do this unbelievably restrictive thing, you better damn well have a plan for how we come out of this and that it saved lives. Because if you don't, then Americans are not going to stand by this. They're just not going to stand by this. Coming up, so what exactly is the government going to do to increase capacity? Because if they don't increase capacity, all of this is for naught. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Redding Kia. RedingKia.com.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime and let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Oldby with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Linda Bodd. Join me May 15th, 2020 at 12 o'clock p.m. in the Redding Rodeo Grounds in Redding, California. Chicks and Chaps will be conducting their annual fundraiser to benefit local individuals impacted by breast cancer. The event will be emceed by yours truly with guest speaker Lynn Fritz, licensed marriage and family therapist. Limited to 100 tickets, which are available through Facebook at Chicks and Chaps Redding or through reddingrodeo.com. Think pink and see you there.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Redding Kia. RedingKia.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long. And help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So if the government doesn't increase capacity, that is like their one job, then not only has this been for naught, it's been wildly counterproductive. I am skeptical as to the capacity of the government to actually do the things necessary to raise the line. So prove me wrong, government. Prove to me that you can fix this problem. The government failed at ensuring that people could get the test. And as I say, that's having real-world ramifications right now. If you can't get a coronavirus test and they're telling you to shelter in place, your life just got appreciably worse. Appreciably worse, because you don't even know whether you can transmit this to other people. And that may be, as I say, a lot easier if you're single and living alone. But let's say that you're single and you're living with roommates. What are your roommates supposed to do? Okay, that's a lot of people in the United States. What are you supposed to do for groceries? You're supposed to not go out? I mean, like, you need to go to the pharmacy. So now you have to have a friend go to the pharmacy. But we've also been told that germs pass so easily that if I hand you a plastic bag, maybe it's living on the plastic bag. Like, if no one can test, then no one knows who the hell's a carrier. Okay, and that is exactly why you have these social distancing measures put in place by the government. But the only way to alleviate that would be widespread testing in the mode of South Korea. As I've been saying for a week now, the goal here is to move from the Chinese model, lock everything down, to the South Korean model. And even that South Korean model is going to assume that there's no second wave, which may or may not be true. Okay, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that when cases of the new coronavirus began emerging several weeks ago in California, Washington State, and other pockets of the country, U.S. public health officials worried this might be the big one, according to emails and interviews. The testing program they rolled out to combat it was a small one. Limited testing has blinded Americans to the scale of the outbreak so far, impeding the nation's ability to fight the virus through isolating the sick and their contacts. And that is why you're seeing these massive numbers rack up. We should actually be encouraged by the fact that massive numbers are racking up, because that means that testing actually is taking place. As I say, in the last week alone, in the last couple of days, we've seen a doubling of the number of diagnosed cases in the United States, and that is simply because of the number of tests taking place, not because a bunch of people just got the disease. But as I say, the government policy that is currently being pursued is not well calibrated, at least in the absence of information as to what exactly they plan to do. I mean, a good sign of this is that the Trump administration is now asking states to suppress specific unemployment claim data. The Trump administration is now apparently asking state labor officials to delay releasing the precise number of unemployment claims they're fielding, an indication of how uneasy policymakers are about further roiling a stock market already plunging in response to the coronavirus outbreak. Okay, if you're asking people to hide information and you're the federal government, that means things are really bad, like a lot worse than people are telling you. This is not a minor shock to the economy. This is the biggest shock to the economy we have ever seen, okay, including the Great Depression, because the Great Depression was an inflation-caused, on the one hand, or liquidity crunch-caused problem. It was not an external caused problem by a giant pandemic virus that has not been alleviated in any way. And it was not the government forcibly shutting down every business in the United States. It is never a good sign when the Department of Labor is telling people not to report unemployment statistics. That should scare the living hell out of everyone. And as far as the plans to alleviate this crisis, I'm sorry, but spending $1 trillion this month and $1 trillion next month and $1 trillion the month after that is not going to be a solution. And certainly what is not going to be a solution is making these programs permanent over time. Let me take a quick example. So apparently, the bill that President Trump signed into law this week that was designed to get immediate relief to people included a paid sick leave provision. According to the HR specialist that I have talked to, that paid sick leave provision not only mandates that businesses have to pay 14 days of paid sick leave when they have no money on hand because they have no income on hand, it also mandates that if you have a sick family member and you say that you can't come into work, that you are supposed to, you basically have maternity leave, 12 weeks of 60% salary from your company. How many companies do you think are going to abide by that? And what happens if the company just says, listen, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to fire you. Why do you think unemployment rates are skyrocketing? Why do you think companies preemptively fired everyone before Trump signed that bill or went into effect? Okay, the government action here to mandate that private business cover the losses incurred by the government and increased by the government is insane. It's why this isn't a bailout, what the government is doing right now. This is the government paying you back for what the government is taking away from you, but the government is not capable of paying you back for what it's taking away from you, because it's not just taking away from you the next month of business. It may be taking away from you the capacity for your business to even operate at all after a month is over, because we don't know what the hell is going on beyond this. So Senate Majority Leader McConnell released a massive economic stimulus bill on Thursday to fight coronavirus's fallout. And the suggestion is direct cash payments to many Americans. The problem is it's means tested based on your 2018 income, which makes no sense whatsoever. Because guess what? Your 2018 income has nothing to do with what you made this year. Also, by the way, like, let's say that you made $200,000 in 2018 when the economy was a hell of a lot stronger. Okay, and let's say that today your business just went bankrupt. So you made $200,000 in 2018, so you do not get any money from the government. But now your business is bankrupt, and so you are bankrupt, and so you have no money. Why are we means testing based on 2018 income? Even means testing based on today's income is probably a mistake, given the fact that you have bills. The means testing, by the way, kicks out at like $100,000. Those people have bills, too. They still have mortgages to pay, so the government solution is, okay, well, we'll freeze the mortgages. We'll freeze the evictions. For how long are you going to do that? And when that business is no longer there, do you think that the evictions, when they are unfrozen, are going to take stock of the fact that your business no longer exists? Senator Lindsey Graham is among several GOP senators voicing concern or outright opposition to the idea of direct payments, even as McConnell unveiled the trillion-dollar stimulus plan that would be the starting point for negotiations with Democrats. McConnell called for the talks to begin today. A number of economists have predicted the U.S. economy is plunging into recession. The unemployment rate could soar because Americans are staying home out of fear of catching the virus. The centerpiece of the Senate GOP plan would be hundreds of billions of dollars sent to Americans in the form of checks as a way to flood the country with money in an effort to blunt the dramatic pullback of spending. That ain't going to work. People are still at home. Okay, if you're freezing the mortgages or if you are freezing the evictions, the best thing that you can do right now is float actual no-interest loans to small businesses via the banks that are already providing those loans. That is the best thing that you can do right now, because the biggest problem here is banks calling in loans on small businesses that are operating on a day-to-day basis. These small checks are simply, like, are they going to help some people? Sure. But one of the problems here is that one of the other factors in this legislation, apparently, is that if you haven't paid federal income tax, then you also don't receive a check back. Okay, that's a lot of poor people, gang. That's a lot of people who may not be receiving the money. The size of the checks would diminish for those earning more than 75 grand and phase out completely for those earning more than 99 grand. The poorest families would see smaller benefits. The minimum would be set at $600. Yeah, good luck in not breaking the economy based on this. The vast majority of middle-class people would receive a cash payment. The percentage doing so falls dramatically toward the bottom of the income spectrum. And none of this makes any sense. The Democratic plans make even less sense because they are looking for permanent plans that would basically turn an enormous swath of human beings into wards of the state even after this crisis ends. And this is one of the problems. Every crisis amounts to a dramatic growth in American government involvement in the economy. If you're talking about the biggest crisis in the history of the American economy, presumably that would also, according to Democrats, mean the most American government economic involvement in the history, and they're trying to make it permanent. House Speaker Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Schumer have slammed the stimulus proposal. They said it tilted too much toward helping business, even though the vast majority of this is directed at direct cash payments to individuals. Pelosi and Schumer said, "We're beginning to review Senator McConnell's proposal, and on first reading, it's not pro-worker. It puts corporations way ahead of workers." By the way, if those corporations go under, who is around to pay people their salaries when this thing ends? It's the jobs disappearing that is the problem. Yes, the money disappearing for the next 2 months is a major problem. The jobs disappearing is a forever problem. If those businesses go under, who exactly is going to hire the workers? This is how you get to Bernie Sanders' federal jobs guarantee. And the government made this happen all by simply declaring that the economy was shut down. Now, again, you want to say it's temporary? You want to say you got a plan to fix this thing? Then show me how it's temporary and the plan to fix this thing is actually going to be effectuated. We seriously need to be considering what the measures we are taking here are. More on that in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Look who's cheap now. You are. And millions more just like you with CheapoAir.com. Because when you spend less booking your flight, you're free to do more, see more, live more, and save more. So you can start planning your next adventure. Just download, click, or call to save on flights, hotels, car rentals, and more. Go ahead. Be cheap. CheapoAir.com. Go online or call 866-GO-CHEAP. 866-GO-CHEAP.
CheapoAir.com.
Go ahead. Be cheap.
The Wall Street Journal editorial board has a good piece on this today titled Rethinking the Coronavirus Shutdown. They say financial markets paused their slide on Thursday, but no one should think this rolling economic calamity is over. If this government-ordered shutdown continues for much more than another week or two, the human cost of job losses and bankruptcies will exceed what most Americans imagine. This will not be popular in some quarters, but federal and state officials need to start adjusting their antivirus strategy now to avoid an economic recession that will dwarf the harm from 2008-2009. The vast social distancing project of the last 10 days or so has been necessary and has done much good. Warnings about large gatherings of more than 10 people and limiting access to nursing homes will save lives. The public has received a crucial education in hygiene and disease prevention. Even young people may get the message. With any luck, the behavior change will reduce coronavirus spread so that we're not overwhelmed. But the costs of the national shutdown are growing by the hour, and we don't mean federal spending. We mean a tsunami of economic destruction that will cause tens of millions to lose their jobs as commerce and production simply cease. Many large companies can withstand a few weeks without revenue, but that isn't true of millions of small and mid-sized firms. Even cash-rich businesses operate on thin margins and can bleed through reserves in a month. 100% true. If you're a profitable business, that means that you had enough to pay your workers this month, and then you have a little bit left over. It doesn't mean you have a multiple of your entire company budget lying in a bank somewhere. That's not the way this works. First, they'll lay off employees, and then out of necessity, they'll shut down. Another month like this week, the layoffs will be measured in millions of people. The deadweight loss in production will be profound, says the Wall Street Journal, and take years to rebuild. In a normal recession, the U.S. loses about 5% of national output over the course of a year or two. In this case, we may lose that much or twice as much this month alone. Wall Street economist Ed Hyman on Thursday adjusted his estimate for the second quarter to an annual rate loss in GDP minus 20%. That is the entire economy of the United States losing one-fifth of its production. If GDP seems abstract, consider the human cost. Think about the entrepreneur who has invested his life in the Memphis ribs joint, I mentioned this earlier, only to see his customers vanish in a week. Or the retail chain with 30 stores that employs hundreds but sees no sales and has to shut its doors. Or the recent graduate with 20 grand in student loan debt who finds herself laid off from her first job. Maybe she can live at home, but what if mom and dad don't have a job? Or, alternatively, what if she is 20 and her parents are 65? Some in the media who don't understand American business say that China managed a comparable shock. Yeah, the difference is that China's a communist country. They don't care if a bunch of people are out of work or die. If they cared about that, they wouldn't be a communist country. The politicians in Washington, says the Journal, are telling Americans, as they always do, they're riding to the rescue by writing checks to individuals. But there's no amount of money that can make up for losses of the magnitude we are facing if this extends for several more weeks. After the first trillion this month, are we going to spend another trillion in April and another in June? And you can see this in the bond yields. Who the hell is going to buy this stuff? Who the hell is going to buy any of this stuff? And by the way, the market is off again today. The market immediately upon opening dropped something like 500 points. The market continues to drop fairly dramatically, and that is because nobody feels secure here. Nobody is going to buy up debt they feel is never going to be repaid. By the time the Treasury Small Business Lending Program runs through the bureaucratic hoops, complete with ordering owners they can't lay off anyone as a price for getting the loan, which of course is not going to be a thing, millions of businesses will be bankrupt. Tens of millions will be jobless. That's, of course, true, because you're not even allowed to lay anybody off in the knowledge that the next couple of years are going to be super rough. So you're going to take that loan only to not be able to pay anyone anyway and go bankrupt 2 months from now? Perhaps we'll be lucky, says the Wall Street Journal. The human and capitalist genius for innovation will produce a vaccine faster than expected, or at least treatments that reduce COVID-19 symptoms. Barring that, our leaders in our society will very soon need to shift their virus-fighting strategy to something sustainable. Dr. Fauci has explained the severe lockdown policy is lasting 14 days in its initial term. The national guidance would then be reconsidered, depending on the spread of the disease. That should be the moment to offer new guidance on what might be called phase two of the coronavirus pandemic campaign. And that will surely include strict measures to isolate and protect the most vulnerable, our elderly, those with underlying medical problems. There shouldn't be a debate over how many lives to sacrifice against how many lost jobs we can tolerate. Substantial social distancing, other measures will have to continue in some form for some time, but no society can safeguard public health for long at the cost of the entire economy's health. Even America's resources to fight a viral plague aren't limitless, and they'll become more limited by the day when no one has a job, when no one is able to go out of the house. Meanwhile, the White House is trying to float 50 and 25-year bonds to finance the stimulus packages. Who the hell is going to buy that? Like, seriously, why would you buy a 50-year bond? More on that in a moment. But first, let's talk about a reality. The next few weeks, you are going to be stuck at home. You're going to be spending a lot of time on that internet. You're going to be watching cat videos, aren't you? Well, if you don't want people to know that you're watching cat videos, then you should be using a VPN. Or, alternatively, if you're buying a lot of stuff online and using that credit card online, you need to protect your online activity. This is basically a hacker's paradise right now. You need to protect yourself with a VPN. If you're not protecting yourself with a VPN, you're doing it wrong. Go check out ExpressVPN today. ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data with the best-in-class encryption, so your information is always protected. Even when you're using public Wi-Fi, like a cafe or a hotel, ExpressVPN works on everything, phones, laptops, routers. Everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can still be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. If you don't have a VPN at this point, I don't know what to tell you. You should have done it a while ago, but go do it right now. Protect your online activity today with the VPN I trust to secure my own privacy. Visit my special link at expressvpn.com/Benny and get an extra 3 months for free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. ExpressVPN.com/Ben to learn more. Go check them out right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. Coming up, if ever there were a scandal at the worst possible time geared toward destroying faith in the American government, this is it. I'll tell you about it coming up. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying parents for medical reasons. In other words, this means students can pursue gender transition without parents knowing about it. Permission slips are required to engage in extracurricular activities. But when it involves a student's health and well-being, folks, the CTA does not have the best interests of students at heart. In fact, it's their goal to push their agenda on vulnerable children. Please join PGI in prayer for parents and children impacted by this policy.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta, wanting to spread the word to all North State first responders, police, fire, EMS, and dispatchers. We are bringing nationally certified Code 9 PTSD and suicide prevention training right here to Shasta County, starting March 24th at Simpson University. There are seminars for command staff, frontline first responders, or their families. We have paid so you can attend for free. Details and registration on our We Back the Blue Shasta Facebook page.
And need a new start on your back taxes. Call 1-800-312-9970.
Probably the worst thing that could happen in terms of trust in the American government right now is to find out that elected officials were using inside information to make money off coronavirus. But those are the accusations today. You want to talk about dramatically undermining and continuing to undermine trust in government? This story from the Daily Beast is devastating. Senator Kelly Loeffler apparently dumped millions in stock after a coronavirus briefing. She's the second senator who got rid of her holdings right as the stock market went bad. It turns out there are 4 such senators who got rid of their stocks as the stock market went bad. Now, some of these, I want to be accurate in the reporting here. People are listing, for example, Senator Dianne Feinstein among the senators who got rid of stock. The pattern of her selling stock does not appear to be the same as some of the more egregious apparent abuses of the system. Feinstein serves as ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and her husband sold between $1.5 million and $6 million in stock in California biotech company Allogene Therapeutics between January 31st and February 18th, according to the New York Times. Feinstein apparently was not directly involved in the sale. Her assets are in a blind trust, according to her spokesperson. She has no involvement in her husband's financial decisions. Reports identified three other senators, James Inhofe, Kelly Loeffler of Georgia, and Richard Burr of North Carolina, as people who are selling vast amounts of stock. Feinstein's doesn't appear to match the pattern simply because she didn't actually make a lot of money on the stock sale. As opposed to, and the same thing is true of Inhofe, Loeffler and Richard Burr are a bit of a different story. Burr, apparently, who's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, used more than 30 transactions to dump between $630,000 and $1.72 million on February 13th, according to ProPublica. That report said the transactions involved a significant percentage of the senator's holdings and took place about a week before the impact of the virus outbreak sent stock prices plunging to the point where gains made during President Trump's term in office were largely erased. A Burr spokesperson said, Senator Burr filed a financial disclosure form for personal transactions made several weeks before the U.S. financial markets showed signs of volatility due to the growing coronavirus outbreak. As the situation continues to evolve daily, he's been deeply concerned by the steep and sudden toll this pandemic is taking on our economy. On Friday, the senator tweeted an updated statement saying he relied only on public news reports to guide his decision on the sale. He's asking for a Senate Ethics Committee review of his actions. Burr was an author of the Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness Act, a law that helps determine the federal response to situations like coronavirus outbreak. Burr's office would not comment on what kind of information Burr received about coronavirus prior to his stock sales. Apparently, Burr made ominous comments about coronavirus behind closed doors last month. He said at a February 27th meeting of business leaders in Washington, quote, there's one thing I can tell you about this. It's much more aggressive in its transmission than anything we've seen in recent history. It's probably more akin to the 1918 pandemic. So supposedly, Richard Burr was getting inside information, because he's a member of the Intelligence Committee, about the extent of the pandemic. He was telling people about it in particular speeches. He was not speaking super publicly about it, and he was dumping his stock at insane rates. He was not the only one. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, now, meanwhile, according to the Daily Beast, it's not just Richard Burr who's in hot water over allegations of insider trading. It is also Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia. Apparently, she sold off seven figures worth of stock holdings in the days and weeks after a private all-senators meeting on the novel coronavirus that subsequently hammered U.S. equities. Loeffler reported the first sale of stock jointly owned by her and her husband on January 24th, the very same day her committee, the Senate Health Committee, hosted a private all-senators briefing from administration officials, including CDC Director and Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, on coronavirus. She tweeted, appreciate today's briefing from the president's top health officials on the novel coronavirus outbreak. The first transaction was the sale of stock in the company Resideo Technologies, valued at between $50,000 and $100,000. The company's stock has fallen by half since then. It was the first of 29 stock transactions Loeffler and her husband made through mid-February, all but two of which were sales. One of Loeffler's two purchases was stock worth between $100,000 and $250,000 in Citrix, a technology company that offers teleworking software and which has seen a small bump in its stock price since Loeffler bought in as a result of coronavirus-induced market turmoil. Loeffler's office did not respond to a request for comment from the Daily Beast on the transactions and whether they are prompted or informed by information shared at that late January briefing. It's illegal for members of Congress to trade on non-public information gleaned through their official duties. That's the reason, presumably, why Richard Burr is saying, yeah, I was just trading based on public reports. And the question is that true or is that not? And how do you prove that it's not true if it is not true? Late Thursday night, she offered a statement. She tweeted, this is a ridiculous and baseless attack. I do not make investment decisions for my portfolio. Investment decisions are made by multiple third-party advisors without my or my husband's knowledge or involvement. As confirmed in the periodic transaction report to Senate Ethics, I was informed of these purchases and sales on February 16, 2020, 3 weeks after they were made. Now, one of the big problems here is that that statement does not say that she was not communicating with her husband or with her investment advisors. Like, I don't actually handle my own investments either. But if I went to my investment advisor and said, guys, I have some pretty good information that this coronavirus thing is going to be an absolute bleep show and the economy is probably going to tank. Do with that what you will. And then 3 weeks later, they were like, oh, yeah, by the way, we got rid of all your stock that week. That's still insider trading. Okay, that is still a violation of law. So we're going to have to find out what exactly the communications chains were here. At the very least, it looks very suspicious. In the week after her spate of stock trades, Loeffler sought to downplay the public health and financial threats posed by coronavirus. She tweeted on February 28th, Democrats have dangerously and intentionally misled the American people on coronavirus readiness. Here's the truth. Donald Trump and his administration are doing a great job working to keep Americans healthy and safe. And she tweeted on March 10th, concerned about coronavirus, remember this, the consumer is strong, the economy is strong, jobs are growing, which puts us in the best economic position to tackle COVID-19 and keep Americans safe. Here's the bottom line. Anybody in Congress who is using insider information to profit off of coronavirus should not only be ousted from their job, everybody should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Okay, and nothing undermines faith in both the private market and in government like the sort of crony garbage that it would that these allegations involve. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump and the government's top infectious disease expert have different ideas about whether a malaria drug can be effective against the coronavirus. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
A day after the president expressed optimism that a drug now used for malaria can also be effective against COVID-19, Dr. Anthony Fauci said no, hydroxychloroquine has not been specifically approved.
It was not done in a controlled clinical trial, so you really can't make any definitive statement about it.
But the president was more upbeat, saying he's a fan of trying the drug and thinks it might work.
It might and it might not. I happen to feel good about it. But who knows? I've been right a lot.
Fauci said the FDA is looking to see whether the drug is safe and effective for coronavirus patients. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A member of the vice president's staff tests positive for coronavirus. Here's Mike Gracia.
The White House says a member of Vice President Mike Pence's staff has tested positive for the coronavirus. Pence spokeswoman Katie Miller said Friday the staff member, who was not named, did not have close contact with either the vice president or President Donald Trump. The individual's contacts are being traced in accordance with guidelines issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Pence has been the point man for the Trump administration in the fight against COVID-19. I'm Mike Gracia.
Mexico and the U.S. are restricting travel over their busy shared border as they try to control the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. North Korea has fired two presumed short-range ballistic missiles into the sea as it continues to expand military capabilities amid a standstill in nuclear negotiations with the Trump administration. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says that the projectiles were fired from inland and western North Korea and flew cross-country before landing in waters off the country's eastern coast. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Andy Solomon. 5G is here. It's the next generation of wireless network technology, and T-Mobile has the first and only nationwide 5G network. And unlike other wireless providers, T-Mobile is giving 5G access at no extra cost. Tech expert Andrea Smith.
If you're looking to upgrade to a 5G phone, the new Samsung Galaxy S20 flagship devices are here. The S20 Plus and the S20 Ultra are the first smartphones in the U.S. that tap into the full potential of 5G. They're available today at T-Mobile with amazing deals.
These deals are for everyone, even businesses.
Get up to half off the latest Samsung Galaxy smartphones via bill credits with an eligible trade-in, or snag a BOGO offer with bill credits when adding a line. And only T-Mobile includes 5G in all of its plans. That means anyone can get two lines starting at just $90 a month plus tax for T-Mobile Essentials with 5G included.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com.
Britain is asking 65,000 retired nurses and doctors to return to work to help fight the coronavirus.
The government is sending letters to thousands of former nurses and retired doctors on the recall. Health Secretary Matt Hancock says he hopes many, many thousands will respond to the appeal. Volunteers will be given training over the next few weeks before being allocated to various hospitals. As well, final year nursing and medical students could also be drafted to bolster healthcare staff. Britain's coronavirus outbreak is not expected to peak for several weeks. Already, some hospitals have complained about overworked staff and shortages of ventilators and protective equipment, such as face masks. Charles de Ledesma, London.
The Federal Reserve has moved with unprecedented force and speed to pump huge amounts of cash into the financial system to ease disruptions that have escalated since the viral outbreak. News and analysis at townhall.com. Another sports league has canceled its season due to the pandemic. Here's correspondent Josh Roundtree.
The XFL has canceled the remainder of its return season because of the coronavirus pandemic. The league's teams played 5 games of a 10-game regular season schedule in 8 cities. Commissioner Oliver Luck released a statement saying that the league's decision had been made with the health and safety of the entire XFL family as a top priority. Luck did stress that the XFL will be back. It was a revival of the XFL that played just one season in 2001. The league had teams in New York, Washington, Los Angeles, Houston, Seattle, Dallas, St. Louis, and Tampa. I'm Josh Round.
The drive-in theater, long a dwindling nostalgia act in a multiplex world, is experiencing a momentary return to prominence. With nearly all the nation's movie theaters shuttered due to the coronavirus pandemic, some drive-in owners think they're in a unique position to give moviegoers a chance to do something out of the house while keeping distance from others. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add, quote, transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying their parents for, quote, medical reasons. This means students can pursue gender transition without their parents knowing about it.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Program, but I wanted to tell you what I think in general the book is about. It's called The Right Side of History. Don't worry, we're going to get to the news as well. But this is tied into the news because the reality is that there is a great question right now in the West, in Western civilization, and it's tearing us apart. And that is, what is Western civilization? What is it? On the one side, you have a bunch of people who say Western civilization is terrible, no good, very bad. On the other side, you have a bunch of people who say that Western civilization is...
Maybe you're going to burn through your Netflix shows and be ready to listen to another podcast. So please, I encourage you to go over there. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. A pleasure to be with everyone today. Now, I've got this one problem while I'm thinking about coronavirus, which is that I'm a pretty young guy. Okay, I have not been around long enough to really have historical perspective on what this virus means. Now, fortunately, my very good friend Andrew Klavan, host of The Andrew Klavan Show, is an expert on this because he's been around since, I think, the first plague that happened, 600, 700 years ago. So, Drew, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's great to be here. I was thinking about it. I couldn't remember. Was it the 14th century, I think, we were having a hard time?
The trouble is it kept coming back, and I know it's easy. That kind of blurs in the memory.
Then – back in those days, it was a little slower because you had to actually walk to the next village.
Drew, I have to ask, back in those days, were podcasts still considered an essential service like they are in California right now? Or maybe not.
Yeah, podcasts and dope, selling dope. Right. I like the fact that you can keep your dope store open in California.
Well, listen, I'm glad that you've got a light attitude during all of this because I look around me, I see everybody panicking. Everybody is pretty much losing it. And I just think panic and hysteria never help anything. They never serve anybody. So I really am curious. I mean, maybe you haven't been around since the 14th century, but you have been through at least a lot of our modern history. How do you think this phenomenon is comparing? I mean, is this totally unique? Have we not seen something like this before?
Well, the thing that's unique about it is the reaction, and whether it's an overreaction, time alone is going to tell. I mean, South Korea seems to have gotten through this in a much more stately way. They were obviously more prepared for it after the last one, which is really amazing because they don't even speak English there, so they must have organized it with hand gestures or something. I don't know how they pulled that off.
That's got to be it.
But it's classic of America, and they're going to try and blame this on Trump. It has zero to do with Trump, but it's classic of America not to be prepared. You know, we never prepare for anything. We always think everything's going to be fine. So we were taken off guard. But the thing that's different, I have to say, is I've never seen a national shutdown like this.
Yeah.
And it is an absolutely fair question to ask whether they're overreacting. And, of course, the answer is we don't really know, and we're not going to know for a while. And it kind of burns me to see all these blue check marks on Twitter making these absolutely declarative statements right. about what's going on. I keep thinking, like, wait, what, you know, did you get an education like feminist theory or something? Tell me. Like, what was... And what I think is happening, I think it's obvious what's happening, is they've got a computer model. Mm-hmm. It's showing them that if they don't do anything, more than 2 million Americans will die, which is more than, you know, any one time in history, any one event in history. And they're reacting to that and thinking even if that doesn't happen, if it gets up to a certain level, it's going to overwhelm the hospitals. So they keep saying we're going to flatten the peak and try and make it so that we can skirt under the capacity of the hospitals. You know, that's an excess of caution, and you got to balance it against the fact that what this is doing to the economy is also going to cause massive suffering or not. Do you and I know whether they're making the right decision or not? I have to say, I think we have to go with the wisdom of Socrates here and say we know nothing, and we're just going to judge this later on. If they pull this off, if they come up, there's now some good news filtering in about, you know, medicines and that are working, mm-hmm. the malaria medicine that might work, the Z-Pak seems to have had some success. You know, if that happens, it will have been a masterpiece of off-the-cuff disaster reaction. And all the talk about the Asian, the Chinese flu, or the Kung flu,
you.
Or the...
How dare you.
Yeah, dare I. No, whatever we're calling it. You should come over. Speaking of your podcast, you should come over to my podcast and hear what I'm calling it. I won't say it on Ben's show because I know he'll hit the roof.
I can't even imagine. The my favorite one that I've come across so far is the bubonic plague. Which I don't think has been outlawed by CNN yet, but I'll have to check out the Andrew Klavan show so that I can hear the spicier names.
I have absolutely no restraints on my mouth whatsoever. So I'm going insane. But look, you know, all that talk is obviously to cover up the fact that I think Trump has done amazingly well. You know, I mean, he's the cutting off the travel from China was huge, and the New York Times and the Washington Post attacked him for it. A lot of the stuff he's done has been on top of it. So I don't know. He's not the kind of guy to overreact. It's happening around the world. So I'm kind of just sailing with it. And I have the advantage over everybody else of having spent most, because I'm a writer, I spent most of my life locked in a room by myself. You know? Right. And so it all comes very naturally to me.
So I absolutely agree on the Trump point. He's really done very well. He's done obviously much better than Italy has done, and he cut off that travel from China very early. He has taken it seriously from the beginning, despite what some in the mainstream media want to say. The way you know that he's taken it seriously is now all they can argue about is what he's calling it. You know,
exactly.
They can't argue about what he's doing.
That's what he always talks about when you're doing well is, you know, but you use the wrong words.
Right. And I am a little nervous, though, because it's not only us conservatives who are saying Trump did a good job or is doing a good job. It's also Gavin Newsom, the left-wing governor of California. It's also Andy Cuomo, the left-wing governor of New York. It's also Ilhan Omar, for goodness sakes, as far left and radical as they come. This makes me a little nervous. If Trump is making them happy, I sort of think he should do the opposite.
Yes, it makes me nervous, too. I heard Dana Bash on CNN also praised him. It's possible he's just a complete incompetent, and we haven't caught on yet. It's possible the left is praising him with something we're not getting. But look, I think in terms of the states, you know, you remember when Chris Christie was attacked on the right for hugging Barack Obama for the disaster release. I think when these states, you know, call up the federal government and the federal government acts with skill and efficiency, they're grateful, you know. I mean, they cannot do it. As Cuomo said, we can't do this stuff. The states can't do it alone, and they're grateful for the efficient help they're getting from sympathetic states, and Trump is doing that. And really, the one thing about Donald Trump is he's got that thin skin. He, you know, if a dog barks barks at him, he'll walk back two blocks and kick the dog. But you know, he wants to fix stuff. I mean, and that's the thing that, you know, when you compare him to the press, it is really interesting. I mean, the press cannot adapt. It can't get rid of the Trump derangement syndrome. It can't see things, you know, say, oh, it's our job now to get the facts out to the people. It just is playing gotcha with Trump, where Trump changes. He adapts to the situation, right, and he learns things and he wants to fix them. I think that the governors, when it comes to Newsom and Cuomo, I think that they're just so grateful that they're getting the help they need. Dana Bash, I think, was probably on some hallucinatory drug.
Yeah,
exactly.
Same with Omar.
Ilhan Omar is the one who scares me. I don't know. Maybe you know, some Jews are dying somewhere, so she's happy. I have no idea.
You know what my tinfoil hat theory is here?
Yeah,
is that true? So I think probably you are right. Probably it's the Chris Christie, Barack Obama thing, where once it's very easy to go on TV and yell at some guy, but when you're actually interacting with him, when he's actually helping you out, he's actually fulfilling his promises, then you are grateful. You have that personal relationship. The other option here, I fear, is that you've got these major leftists in America saying, well, we tried to get Trump out with Russia, we tried to get Trump out on his taxes, we tried to get Trump out on Ukraine, none of that worked, but now he's crashing the global economy. Great, let's do it, keep it up, drive that economy into the ground, President Trump, and then we'll get Sleepy Joe for president in November.
Here's the reason. First of all, I have to tell you something. You're right, I have lived a long time, and there's very little on earth that surprises me. I am appalled that any sentient creature above the level of a jellyfish would vote even once for Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders. I mean, those two guys are like, they're like cartoons. It's like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppet Show. I mean, I cannot believe that anyone could look at Joe Biden, who's now being escorted off stage by his wife because he has no idea where he is, yeah, and think that's the guy we need in a crisis. You know, so that is absolutely baffling. But I will tell you something else. I know that if this goes on too long, the damage to the economy is going to be truly dire.
Yeah.
I think Trump is right, though. Mm-hmm. Right now, if we get out of this, say it's a week, say it's another week, we got to go through this. I think the market is going to come roaring back. I mean, first of all, there's going to be all that stock dumped by our senators.
There's going to be so much to buy up. You know, Drew, I want to get into this in one second because I want to hear the good news on the economy. First, though, I've got to help our own personal economy and thank our friends over at Policy Genius. I guess it's a good time to be thinking about Policy Genius. One way to worry less about your home is to protect it with home insurance. That seems pretty easy, doesn't it? First, you head to policygenius.com. You answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then Policy Genius will compare your policy against options from top insurers to make sure you're getting the right home insurance coverage at the best possible price. They've saved their customers an average of, you're not going to believe it, $690 per year doing just that. I think we could all use an extra $690 right about now. If Policy Genius finds you a better rate than what you're currently paying, they'll do all the work to get you switched. If you have a car, the only thing you do know is that it won't last forever. Policy Genius will compare your home and auto policies across different insurers, even mix and match to find you savings. So, even though humans have a lot to learn about the future, don't be discouraged. Protect the things you've worked hard for and get home insurance with Policy Genius. In just a few minutes, you can find your best price and apply at policygenius.com. Policy Genius, we'll always get the future wrong, so get home insurance right. All right, Drew, that's how we help our personal economy. Now,
yes, absolutely.
Now I want to hear about the macro economy. Why do you think it's going to bounce back?
Well, because I don't think there are underlying problems, and I think this is really a big deal. I mean, look, there are always underlying problems with the economy, and they call it economics the gloomy science for a reason. But I think basically this is a very sound economy with a guy at the top who understands that cutting taxes, cutting regulations is the way to go. We're way overregulated, which I think, in a weird way, this disease is helping with, because we're throwing some of those regulations away. There are always underlying problems, but I don't think there's an underlying decay in our economy. I think our economy is actually doing quite well. And so I think it's going to come back. I think it's going to bounce back just like Trump says it will, because all these people who are out of work are not out of work. They're not out of work because the economy's not working. They're out of work because there's an emergency. Mm-hmm. And they're out of work, and in this emergency, everything has been shut down. Now, again, whether that was panic and whether that has gone too far, I'm not willing to say. We may find out that that's true. On the other hand, we may find out, no, that saved a lot of lives. But why on earth, when it goes away, when this thing is stopped and when the disease tails off, as it certainly will, why on earth would not those businesses start up again? Would not they, you know, the people come back? The government is going to be helping out. It's going to be on top of that. And Trump, you know, this is Trump's, this is his thing. This is what he does, and this is what he pays attention to. So, look, if let's just say, you know, my son Spencer believes that God humors us by following the liturgical calendar.
Yeah.
That God doesn't care about the liturgical calendar, but he knows he does. So let's say it comes back by Easter.
It's kind of looking like that, right?
Right.
It began with Ash Wednesday and Lent, and it looks like all these regulations are going to lift by Easter.
This is Spencer Clavin's theory of life, that like God is going like, oh yeah, oh look, I'm looking at their calendar here. It doesn't mean much to me, but I'm going to give them a break here. And so Easter, if the economy rises, if the thing lifts and we come back to life like Jesus, then the economy is going to be back online by...
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with a peace of mind that your vehicle's in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Hey,
Cyber criminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. I'm host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast. You can get that at the Daily Wire and Apple Podcasts and all over the place. We will be with you throughout the quarantine. I know that people are, you know, there's just more to listen to these days, more to watch, more time to do all of that. And while doctors and nurses are working overtime, while countless Americans are missing paychecks, while the whole country is going on lockdown, you know, I mean, various cities are literally going on lockdown, shelter in place. Thankfully, we can count on Hollywood celebrities to do their part in the midst of this crisis. They are now tweeting videos of themselves singing a communist pop song out of key.
Imagine there's no heaven. Easy if you try.
No hell below us.
Above us only sky.
Imagine all the people
living for today. Yeah.
Imagine there's no countries there.
Don't. It isn't hard to do.
Oh, no. Jimmy
Nothing
Fallon had to do it, too.
Or die for.
Oh, my goodness. Don't know who that person is. Why didn't I make
imagine
this list?
They're
letting anybody jump
the
on this celebrity imagine train. Okay, that's it. No more. No more. I can't. I'm going to be sick. Stop it. I'm not going to be sick from the woo flu. I'm going to be sick from the imagine video. The lack of self-awareness is mind-boggling, even by Hollywood standards. We have a global pandemic right now because a communist government hid information about a virus and covered it all up. And Hollywood's first thought is, I know, the way we can help is by singing a hymn to communism. It's like so perfectly backwards. It's just so perfectly wrong. That's the first part. They are singing odes to a political system that gave us this virus that is 100% to blame. The other aspect of it here, though, is how they think of themselves and their role in our lives is that we poor peasants, we serfs who just grunt and sweat all day tilling the soil. That's all we do, and maybe we get to eat a little bit of gruel at night. And the only bright spot that we could imagine in our lives is to have these schmucks singing a bad song off key. Unbelievable. Oh, thank you, finally. Hey, guess what, guys? We're all quarantined, okay? We're watching all of your movies now. In fact, we're sick of your movies. We wish we could do something else. The last thing we need is more of you. Okay, we've got the Netflix, we've got our Hulu going, we're streaming everything. We do not need more of you. What we really want to do is go back to work and start making some money again. Unbelievable. Of course, they don't put two and two together, though. They don't realize, huh, the communist government gave us this virus. Maybe we shouldn't sing about how great communism is. And the reason is they don't blame China for this. They don't. I mean, they're basically buying the Chinese propaganda at this point that it wasn't China's fault. We know it was China's fault. China knew about this virus as early as November 17th. They covered it up for a month and a half. They punished people who blew the whistle on it. They would not allow this to come out. China's 100% to blame. Guess what? If there is a new study out from the University of Southampton, if China had acted 1 week earlier, they could have reduced the spread by 66%. If they reacted 2 weeks earlier, they could have reduced the spread by 86%. If they reacted just 3 weeks earlier, they could have reduced the spread of this virus by 95%. They wouldn't have plunged the global economy into chaos. They would have not been responsible for the many, many lives that will be lost as a result of this. China is to blame here. The response to that is not to sing odes about how wonderful their system of government is. The response to that is to make them pay. And somebody's going to have to pay. We're now looking at a major, major bailout package, a stimulus package in the United States, and stimulus measures elsewhere in the world.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of Rivercom Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, We provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Furnished by Bayer Fund.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles, and you can find my show. I suspect people are going to have a lot of time to listen to shows in the next couple weeks. You can find my show at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube. I mean, now, depending on how the quarantine goes, I might have to just affix a little audio tape to a carrier pigeon and send it out to you. But I will do that because we are all in this thing together. We're going to be taking your calls this hour. That number is 855-236-3228. That number again, give me a call, 855-236-3228. Let's get right into it. Let's talk to Andrea from Arkansas. Andrea, you're on the line.
Hi, Michael. I'm just reading on CNN this morning about how a church in Louisiana still met, and now they're threatening, or they sent a police officer in to threaten the National Guard to break it up if they met again. I'm wondering, with the CDC's recommendation of no gatherings over 50 for the next 8 weeks, what do you think the church's response is to this? Do you think there will be some responses saying we are going to meet and this is what we're going to do, or what do you think is the appropriate response?
Well, I can speak from my personal experience here in California as a Catholic, because they've just closed the masses in Los Angeles and Orange County and pretty much everywhere around here. So I'm not going to be going to church, just like apparently these people in Louisiana. This has been happening all around the country. You know, this is a difficult balancing act because we don't know what's happening. We don't know if this is overblown. We don't know if this is, I mean, we know the media is overhyping this, but we don't know about the reality of the virus. I mean, is this something we're overreacting to, or is this really a unique once-in-a-lifetime sort of pandemic? And so all of the leaders, not just the political leaders, but the church leaders too, are erring on the side of caution. You know, there's no political cost to overreacting, but there is a political cost to underreacting. If all of a sudden you see 2 million people die in the United States, then everybody is going to be thrown out of office for that. Whereas if you overreact, there's no way to go back and say, actually, it wouldn't have been so bad, so maybe we should have kept things open. The timing of this is unique. I mean, I think especially for a lot of Americans, religious liberty is at the very foundation of our country. When the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower, they were looking to practice their religion. I mean, it's been so important to our country. And so we can get by closing the bars. We can get by closing the restaurants. When you start closing churches, that is a big deal. Now, a lot of religious leaders, including the Catholics in California, for instance, have voluntarily done this. When the government starts coming in with a gun and saying, disperse your church, I don't think Americans will tolerate that. I don't think they should be asked, or I suppose told, to tolerate that. However, there is a kind of funny bit of timing with all of this, which is that the coronavirus pandemic began in earnest in the United States right around Ash Wednesday, right around the beginning of the season of Lent, where so many Christians observe this penitential season before Easter. And usually when we say penitential season, we like give up candy or something. Now it looks like we're going to have to give up going to church altogether. There is a sort of poetry to that. You know, there's a sort of dark beauty to that that we're really being forced out here. You know, for Catholics and people who recognize the sacraments, we really believe you have to access the sacraments, certain confession, the Eucharist. And so the longer this is shut down, the less they're going to tolerate that. For other more Protestant denominations, that's less important. And so one solution that has been proposed and that people are doing now is they're videoing or Facebook living church services. I suppose that's sort of clever in the short term, but it's certainly not a long-term solution. And anytime, I'm more than happy to go in with all my fellow Americans and try to flatten the curve and stop the spread of this virus. But if the government is showing up with guns to disperse church services, to me, that is a step too far, and we've got to correct that. Really good question, Andrea. Thank you so much. Let's turn now to Noah from Iowa. Noah, you're on the air.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. So I had a quick question. It's kind of a two-parter, but it's like a one-and-a-half size question. Okay, is that okay?
Give it to me. I'm happy to answer. I'll even answer one-and-three-quarters questions.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. So my first question is that, and this is kind of like the prequel to the half question next, do you think that what the government is doing right now is enough, or what they're doing, I should say, is right, by telling us to kind of stay indoors and stuff like that? Do you think that that's the right thing to do, especially when something like in 1908, how there was a pandemic that broke out in St. Louis and in, was it Philadelphia? Philadelphia, where people were told to stay indoors and the fatality rate was much less. Do you think that's the right thing to do, or how do you feel about that?
Right. I mean, this is the question. And anybody, by the way, who gives you a 100% certain answer on this question is lying. They have no idea. I mean, people just do not know right now. And so, yeah, is it going to be like an overhyped pandemic where actually the mortality rate is very low? Or is this going to be, you know, instead of 1908, it's 1918. It's the 1918 Spanish flu, which really was virulent, which really did kill a lot of people. We just don't know. So the policies that are in place now, especially, I mean, I'm in Los Angeles where the policies are very intense. You know, they're basically saying shelter at home unless you're an essential service. And so if the policy is let's grind everything to a halt for a very limited period of time based on good science that shows that this is going to save a lot of lives, then obviously that was the right thing to do. If, however, the policy is let's grind everything to a halt and not let you know when you can go back to work and totally upend the 2020 presidential election and transform our country. I mean, obviously, that would be a terrible thing. Now, one problem is we're not going to really be able to know, because after this is all over, let's say the mortality rate is very, very low, then the people who were pushing for this reaction are going to say, see, it's because of our policies. So it's a difficult balancing act. I think one thing that the government could do to assuage our fears, those of us who think this maybe has been overhyped by the media, is to say there is an end date. We are projecting, by the same computer models that made us shut everything down, we're now projecting that this will level off. All viruses rise and they plateau and then they decline. That's called Farr's Law. So we're projecting this will decline, say, mid-April or something. I think if people had an end date, it would relieve us a little bit. So far, they've not been able to provide that, probably because they don't have a whole lot more information than we do. But the longer this goes on, I keep stressing this point, even on my own show, Americans are not like continental Europeans. Okay, we're not like Italians. We're not like the Chinese. We are different. We come from a different political tradition. It's the Anglo-American political tradition. We really don't like being told what to do. We really don't like being told stay in your home or a cop is going to yell at you. And so I just think I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just saying as a descriptive matter, if Americans are told stay in your home and don't go out for, I don't know, more than a couple weeks or something, I just don't think they're going to tolerate that. And so the government's going to have to start coming up with some answers. Very good question. Let's turn now to Sam from Maple Grove. Sam, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, King of Trolls. It's a huge honor to speak to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
I just have a quick question. with all of this pandemic stuff going on right now, and with basically the apocalypse going on, do you see manufacturers really moving away from producing this stuff in China? Because I know one of the big things that encourages them to do that is the lower taxes, and then also basically the slave labor. I know that, for example, Apple, they wouldn't be able to do a lot of their work if they weren't paying their employees pennies on the dollars. And likewise, if we did employ people here in the U.S., for example, we would have to pay considerably more, and I don't even know if the business model would be feasible at that point.
Right.
Do you see that ever really happening?
I do see that happening. I mean, if you're asking right now if I'm seeing manufacturers shifting their production out of China, I can't say I am, because I'm seeing manufacturers not producing anything at all. I mean, major, major manufacturers, major car companies and other corporations are just not producing anymore, you know, because we're in the midst of this pandemic and they can't have their workers in. So I do think this is going to be part of an even broader shift in American manufacturing policy. You saw this at the beginning from 2016 with President Trump. You know, there was a time not so long ago in this country, certainly in the Reagan days and even afterward, where it was perfectly conservative, I mean, where everybody really agreed to buy American. It was better to buy American. It was good to have some manufacturing capacity. And then we were all sort of taken in by this ideology that said that we've got to outsource everything, and if we can get our goods made in China for just a little bit less money, that's a wonderful thing, and we all get richer because of it. But now we're seeing the effect of that, because if China shuts down, if they become hostile, if they're adversarial, which they obviously are, then all of a sudden you can't rely on your own manufacturing. Now we can't even make our own medicines in many cases. And President Trump is invoking the Defense Production Act in order to ramp up U.S. production of these sorts of things. So one of the, you know, every storm cloud has a silver lining. And I think the silver lining here with coronavirus is that we'll accelerate a trajectory we were already on, which was, at least a few years ago, we saw the negative side of globalization. I mean, you see on manufacturing with the Chinese company Huawei. The Huawei company is now building 5G. They want to build 5G in the UK. And the United States is saying, don't do that. We know it's a little bit cheaper, but they can spy on you. There are all these costs that are not just economic. They're political, they're national security. So we've been seeing this coming for a long time. I think coronavirus very likely is the final nail in the coffin, and it might raise the cost of consumer goods, but we were paying a lot of hidden costs before, and we've only had to actually pay the price for that right now during this pandemic. Great question. We'll get to more of your calls in just a moment, but first I've got to thank our friends over at Roman. Okay, you think it's difficult talking about everything that's in the news today. I think we all know that talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy. It's not very comfortable, is it? With Roman, however, it is easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and most importantly, I think for a lot of guys out there, discreet. So with Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and oh yeah, did I mention discreet? Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro, S-H-A-P-I-R-O, and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle. Now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor. Take care of it. GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free visit to get started. What's that address? GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Okay, let's turn now. Ken, all the way out in Alaska. Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael. My question is, what is your take with all of these state governments, banning people from going to church? You've got the governor of Ohio disobeying a judge's ruling to close primaries. About, you know, how easily people are giving up their freedoms, their constitutional freedoms and such, to give the government a little bit more power, a little bit more authority. Does that concern you at all, or what's your take on it?
It does concern me. I'm not pulling my hair out of my head just yet, but it does concern me. So, first of all, another silver lining of coronavirus is it's teaching the left about federalism again. So it's reminding them that we have not just a federal government with the president at the helm, but we also have state governments, we also have local governments. And while the Constitution reins in the power of the federal government, the state governments and local governments actually have a whole lot more power to regulate, to put in place these regulations than the federal government does. So there's a balancing act, right? If this epidemic, if this pandemic is really as bad as the most alarmist people are saying it is, then certainly it would be worth everybody taking a breather for 2 weeks and reducing the number of deaths. If it's been overhyped, then it seems like it was an enormous cost that we had to pay. Are Americans willing to give up their liberties for an extended period of time? Are they willing to even have their churches closed for an extended period of time? I think the important part of that question is not whether they're willing to give up certain liberties temporarily. The question is, for an extended period of time, how long will this go on? It's a big concern. I like, actually, that Americans have enough solidarity that they're willing to help one another out and take a pause for a moment. But I will be furious. I will be disappointed. I will be crestfallen if actually this carries on for months and months and a very long time, and Americans just give up their rights and their liberties without any debate, without any pushback whatsoever. It's a good thing that this is happening on the state and local level primarily, because that's where it's most easy to fight. We've got different states which are
Strict attention to detail. That's what sets Kubota construction equipment apart. It's how we maximize performance, increase strength, and give you the dependability you demand. We engineer our equipment precisely at every level. It's what makes us a leader. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 48 months. Now through March 31st, 2020. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Come on down to NorCal Tractor and Equipment, your new local Kubota dealer.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom.
Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Hey, cyber criminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. I'm host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast, which you can get anywhere you get your podcasts, or you can get it on YouTube, or I don't know, you can just close your eyes and imagine what I'm saying. I think that might count. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. And we'll be taking your calls, at least for the next segment. So let's turn now to Walter from Dallas, Texas. Walter, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael. Big fan, man. Especially really love your takes on the culture and how everything that kind of happens in politics affects the culture.
Oh, thank you.
Love when you talk about it on your show. So my question is, how do you believe that this pandemic will affect American nationalism and religiosity?
I don't want to be accused of being an eternal, incurable optimist, but I do think that if there's any silver lining to the coronavirus pandemic, it will be in exactly the areas that you've identified, nationalism or love of country and in religion, because what we do in this country is we take things for granted. You know, things are so good. I think back to just a week or two ago when we've got the greatest economy in the history of the world. Everything's humming along. The worst thing that we're complaining about is what sort of names President Trump and words President Trump is using on Twitter. I mean, just absolute fake problems, right? So the effect of this is we're seeing a recognition that countries need to have borders. We need to know who's coming in and out. You know, the same left who says that walls don't work are now telling you to quarantine in your own house. I think walls probably do work. We've just now ordered a shutdown of the border with Mexico. Who knew? President Trump's been trying to do that for 3.5 years. It looks like all it took was a global pandemic to accomplish it. And these days, probably even more importantly, we just closed down the border with Canada. So we won't get those Trudeauian socialists coming down here anymore either. And this is happening, obviously, throughout Europe. Part of the reason why Italy was affected so intensely by coronavirus is because they were not able to secure their borders fast enough, and they were relying too much on imported low-wage labor from China, specifically in Milan, which got hit the hardest with coronavirus. So I think that's important. And then on the religion front as well, this is a painful period for especially Christians. You know, we're in Lent right now, so it kind of coincidentally or providentially or whatever, the coronavirus pandemic in America really got started around Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, which is this penitential period where we're, you know, looking forward to Easter, but it's kind of a sorrowful period, and you give something up, and it's very introspective. And it looks like the pandemic might clear up around Easter. I mean, how's that for timing? And the churches are closing down. How often do you wake up on a Sunday, and even if you're the most pious religious guy in the world, say, oh, I don't know. Am I really going to go to church today? You know, I got so much to do. I got a lot of sports to watch. You know, I got a lot of drinks to drink. I got a lot of brunch to have. And you just take it for granted that it will always be there. And guess what? Now it isn't there. Now churches around America are closed and we realize what we're missing. You know, it's very difficult in times of prosperity to be grateful for what you have and to really appreciate it. And now we're in a very intense moment of sudden halting of not just the global economy, but even of our culture. You know, culture has in many ways been canceled by this pandemic. If that makes us more grateful for it, more appreciative for our own country, and more importantly, I suppose, for our churches, that will be a fine consequence, and hopefully it won't be too late to express that appreciation and to enjoy it once, hopefully soon, all of this is over. Excellent question. We are going to have to take a quick break, even though there is so much happening. I mean, just the updates that have happened since we have been on the air are really astounding. We will get to all of that, how this pandemic is going to affect taxes, how this is going to affect manufacturing, how it's going to affect travel, student loans. I mean, everything is changing by the minute. We will be there to bring all of that to you. So you better not go anywhere. Don't touch that radio dial. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. So much more coming up. We'll see if it changes in the breaks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Mexico and the United States are restricting travel over their busy shared border as they try to control the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. President Donald Trump and Mexican Foreign Secretary Marcelo Ebrard say their governments have agreed to prohibit recreational and tourist travel. It is similar to the restrictions put in place earlier this week along the U.S. and Canadian border. There would be no ban on people traveling for work or other essential activities, and there would be no halt to commercial traffic. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis ordered the closure Friday of beaches, movie theaters, concert halls, gymnasiums, and similar businesses in two major counties hard hit by the coronavirus.
I want to do things that will be followed and that will be effective. And if you go too hard, then I think people lose confidence and they rebel against it. So we've tried to have a collaborative approach, not because I don't think I have the power. Governors have in these situations some serious police powers. I'm not somebody that likes necessarily wielding that.
Meanwhile, two big states are joining California in ordering people to stay at home because of the coronavirus.
Illinois has reported more than 500 coronavirus cases.
My bedrock has been to rely upon science.
And Governor J.B. Pritzker says he is acting on that.
To avoid the loss of potentially tens of thousands of lives, we must enact an immediate stay-at-home order for the state of Illinois.
People can still go out in Illinois and get things like groceries and medicine. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's taking drastic action. No gatherings, and non-essential workers must stay home.
We need everyone to be safe. Otherwise, no one can be safe.
That's correspondent Ed Donahue. Stocks sank to their worst week since the financial crisis of 2008. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474.
or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Iran presses on despite alarming numbers of people being felled by the coronavirus.
Iran's leaders are vowing to overcome the coronavirus outbreak in upbeat messages marking the Persian New Year. The optimism came even as the health ministry announced 149 more fatalities, bringing the country's death toll to 1,433. Iran is battling the worst outbreak in the Middle East with nearly 20,000 confirmed cases and has been widely criticized for its slow response. Other countries in the region have imposed far stricter measures to contain the virus, including canceling flights, sealing borders, and forcing all non-essential businesses to close. Keith Peters reporting.
The Federal Reserve has moved with unprecedented force and speed to pump huge amounts of cash into the financial system to ease disruptions that have escalated since the viral outbreak. News and analysis at townhall.com. A U.S. national sports organization would like to see Olympic organizers reconsider holding the Summer Games this year as scheduled.
The head of USA Swimming is calling for the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo to be postponed until next year. USA Swimming CEO Tim Hinchey sent a letter to the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee on Friday describing the challenges USA swimmers face and urging the USOPC to use its voice as a leader within the Olympic movement to speak up for its athletes. Earlier Friday, USOPC Board Chair Suzanne Lyon said that the decision lied with the World Health Organization, the Japanese government, and the International Olympic Committee, promising that her committee would never send athletes into harm's way if it didn't think it was safe. I'm Denny Kopp.
Well, it is a done deal, but it's still a shock to many people, especially Patriots fans. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have finalized their deal with six-time Super Bowl champion and former New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Knowles, guess what we're talking about? We're talking about the only thing that anybody is talking about, which is coronavirus. But I want to move away for a moment from the politics of this. There's a lot to say about the politics, and I want to try to get to some medical facts. I want to get to the scientific facts, if that's possible, based on the data that we have. We got a pretty good shot at that, though, because we're joined this hour by Kevin Pham. Dr. Kevin Pham is a medical doctor, contributor to the Daily Signal, and a former graduate fellow in health policy at the Heritage Foundation. Dr. Pham, thanks so much for being on.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I want to move beyond the politics. You know, we've been talking about Gavin Newsom and Andy Cuomo and Donald Trump and the journalists yelling at Donald Trump and what we should call it and if it's racist to call the Chinese coronavirus. Okay, let's put a pause on that for a moment. What is the scientific reality here? A lot of people are writing in saying they fear this is an overreaction. Maybe we shouldn't have ground the global economy to a halt over this. What say you?
So there's two things to that. There's like the medical, there's the medical science reality, and there's also the public health reality. I think that's that's probably the thing that's going to affect people the most, because on the medical side, we all, the medical community, we know how to deal with this. All of these things are stuff that have that we've dealt with before. You know, as you know, it's related to MERS and SARS. We've dealt with that before, and so that kind of works. And I just want to point out the on the public health policy side, a great resource right now is the Heritage website, heritage.org. On the front page, we have all our public health policy responses to that. That's on the front page of heritage.org. But what we're trying to do with public health policy right now is try to get everyone on board with halting the spread of the disease. And that's, I know you're in California.
Yeah.
I know Gavin Newsom just really locked everything down. That's going to hurt. No one's going to joke about that. That one's going to hurt, but it's also going to help. And that's sort of the thing that we should all be able to get behind. It'll help. And hopefully it's just a temporary thing, especially if this is successful, then it'll, as we talk about, it'll flatten the curve. It'll also decrease the rate of new cases. And then it'll make the reproduction rate of the virus come down to below one. And that'll, if we all do this, if we all take our part in this, then we could reduce the spread of the disease. And then we can accelerate the amount, the time it takes to get back to a relatively normal life.
So what does that mean to reduce the reproduction rate of the virus below one?
Right. So the R0 rate, the reproduction rate, what that means is the average number of people that each infected person spreads the virus to. So when you have a reproduction rate of one, that means that every person who gets the disease, they'll end up spreading it to one other person on average.
Okay.
And so if your reproduction is one, then the virus stays at a baseline level and it doesn't go down or doesn't go up. What we have right now is roughly a 2 to 4, depends on which source you're looking at. There's a lot of data. Obviously, everything is changing all the time. But right now, the reproduction rate is between 2 and 4, which means each person who gets it spreads it to 2 other people. And that's why we have that exponential growth that that you probably heard about.
Yeah.
As the more people who get it, the more people get it. You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Right, that does make sense.
More people who get it, it'll right.
So
it'll greatly expand every single time.
So what you're pointing here, which is a distinction that actually I'm not hearing a lot of people making, is forget about the distinction between the politics and the medical science. There's actually, within the way the disease spreads, there's the scientific aspect, but then there's the way it affects public health. So from the medical scientific aspect, we know how to deal with the virus. We've seen similar viruses before. But the problem is on the public health side, because it doesn't matter if you know how to deal with the virus. If you overwhelm the healthcare infrastructure, it doesn't matter how technically proficient you are. There just won't be the resources to address it.
Exactly. But I just want to make a quick distinction. I don't want to overstate the fact. We've dealt with virus. We've dealt with these illnesses before. The virus itself is completely new.
Right.
It's a novel virus to the human body.
Right.
It starts off with a flu-like symptom that we always have been talking about. But then what we're seeing increasingly is its effect on the heart, too. Mm. A lot of people who are dying in Washington State are not dying of the respiratory illness. This is happening in Italy as well. They're dying of a cardiac illness. They seem to be starting to get better with breathing, but then all of a sudden their heart starts ejecting much less blood and their heart stops, and that's what's killing a lot of people. There's also a lot of evidence that it's doing damage to the kidneys. It's potentially doing damage to the liver. So the virus itself is not anything that we've really seen before, but each one of those organ systems that's damaged, we know how to deal with it. That's part of the medical training.
Right, because you're not seeing a lot about that on the news. You're seeing that the big effect is on the lungs, and that's why we need respirators, and it's similar to pneumonia. But you're not seeing a lot about the effects on the heart and the kidneys and other organ systems.
Right. The first illness is usually in the lungs. That's how most people present. And then by the time that you're really ill with the respiratory disease, then everything else just starts failing, and it sort of gets mixed in with all the other illness. And so it's hard to stand out. It's hard to tell. It's hard to do the reporting on it.
Right.
It's because by then the patient's already really sick.
Right, right. That makes sense. So I want to drill down a little bit on the public health side, because I'm in Los Angeles, where it seems every politician is trying to one-up every other politician. So President Trump has gotten a lot of plaudits from not just the right, but from the left here, even Dana Bash, you know, in the mainstream media journalist, or Andy Cuomo, the governor of New York, or even Gavin Newsom, our governor here in California. Eric Garcetti last night declared not just businesses being shut down, but basically everybody, you should stay in your home. And then not an hour later, Gavin Newsom comes out and he says, forget about just L.A., we're going to do it in the whole state. You know, and I think it seems like every politician wants to be reacting the most seriously and one-upping all of the other ones. From your view of public health, is there really much of a difference here between saying we're going to close down most businesses, but you can still go for a walk in the park, and saying more or less you need to shelter in place?
There is a little bit of difference there. We're talking about the difference between a mitigation effort and a suppression effort. Mitigation is slowing down the spread of the disease. Suppression is halting the spread of the disease. Hmm. And the only way to truly halt the spread of a disease is to minimize or eliminate human-to-human contact. So if there's no human-to-human contact, there's no human-to-human transmission. And that seems to be what the strategy that people the leaders in California seem to be pursuing. Mitigation is when you're trying to slow it down, so that's social distancing, but you're still able to go out to the store, still able to interact with people. And so you're not eliminating human contact, you're just reducing it right. So that the rate of transmission is slower. And right. So that's the bifurcation in strategies, and it seems like California wants to play it safe, and they want to go with the harsher rules so that to really stop this thing.
California always wants to go with the harsher rules. I want to know a little bit about the age differences here, because we've been told that people who are in their 70s or 60s maybe are really at risk of serious complications from this virus. We've also been told that people who are younger, especially children actually, but even people in their 20s and 30s, are very, very likely to be perfectly fine in the face of this virus. Then we're getting some conflicting reports out of it, and it just seems like information is the most difficult thing to get here. What's your view of it? Are younger people more or less safe, or should they be worried about their own health?
More or less safe from the acute severe disease, but then it's just more or less, right? It's still mm-hmm. a game of chance at this point. Okay. Around the 60-year-old mark, that seems to be when the rate of severe disease really skyrockets, so anybody above that is really at risk, but, you know, just because someone else's rate is much higher doesn't mean your rate is zero. Nobody's rate is zero. In fact, I've been hearing a lot of people say that no children have been killed. At least one child has been killed. Someone under the age of 9, I believe, in China.
Really?
So
Doctor, I want to get into that. I actually want to take a long moment to get into that, because I think we haven't heard that elsewhere. But first, I've got to thank our friends over at FreedomWorks. Oh, man, is this more important than ever, isn't it? We're looking now at the results of a communist government, communist China. As they always do, they covered up the pandemic, they wouldn't admit it, and as a result, we are all experiencing those horrible consequences. And look, that's just one policy choice. This happens all the time in socialist governments. If there's any silver lining to the coronavirus, it's making me really appreciate our own free system here in the United States. And there is a great organization working to protect freedom here. That is FreedomWorks. If you want to help them out, do it now. Please text Ben, that's B-E-N, not that hard to spell, to 41490 and sign their petition today. It's so important. Everybody's trying to come for your rights. Everybody's trying to come for your freedom. Look all around you, right? Freedom is one of the most difficult things to preserve, and we've got to all band together and join that fight. Text Ben, B-E-N, to 41490 and help FreedomWorks by signing their petition today. All right. Dr. Pham, sorry for that brief interruption. I want to get into this because this is news to me. I had heard that no children had died of the virus. You're saying that there's been at least one case in China.
Right. I found that out when I was trying to drill down on mortality rates for this disease. As you know, there's a ton of data out there. It's all very disorganized because there's so much coming out all at once.
Right.
But, you know, I did find out that at least one child died in one province in China. I would have to look it up again, but let's just be certain about this. No age group is perfectly safe from this disease.
Right.
And I think in the Northeast, probably in New York City, the rate of severe illness or the rate of hospitalization, at least, it's like 40% people, 40% of them are under the age of 50 or so.
Hmm.
I forget what the exact numbers are, but it's a much larger proportion than you would think.
So what do you make to the comparisons on, say, the flu or H1N1 or the comparisons we've heard? Because at least for now, knock on wood, thank goodness, the mortality rate in the United States is pretty low, right? I mean, I think it's something like 218 people have now died from coronavirus over the past month and a half or 2 months. Are those comparisons valid at all? You know, I mean, we're hearing about every single story, every hospitalization, and so obviously it seems so magnified to us. But how does this compare with other viruses that we've seen?
So one thing that we should always remember is that when you're comparing one illness to the next illness, there are going to be similarities and there are going to be differences. With H1N1, the public health response was much slower, and I think part of that was because H1N1 is, in fact, an influenza virus.
Right.
And then so people were probably complacent when they were trying to manage it. COVID-19 is not the influenza virus. It's not just another flu, because it's literally not another flu. But also, as I had mentioned, it affects other organ systems. Influenza primarily affects the respiratory system.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes you'll develop a post-infectious pneumonia that, like, is a follow-on bacterial pneumonia. But with COVID-19, it by itself is able to cause acute respiratory distress.
Right.
So the two of them are different, and the two of them are just different in their pathophysiology, but also in their epidemiology. The reproduction rate that we had talked about earlier for H1N1, it was different sources cited usually between 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But with COVID-19, what we're seeing is between 2 and 4. So right off the bat, it's 2 to 4 times more transmissible. So it will, if we don't get a lid on it, it will spread through the world much faster than H1N1 did. And then not only that, it's also showing to be more lethal too to whoever gets it.
Hmm.
So it's more infectious and it's more lethal. And so for those two reasons, we should certainly take COVID-19 more seriously than H1N1.
Right. I suppose that focus on the epidemiology, or how it spreads like an epidemic or a pandemic, that is the focus here. And you have sufficiently scared me into taking this seriously. I really appreciate it, Dr. Pham, you know, in all of the all of the commentary on all of this, where people are so just talking about the politics. That's really, I mean, you've brought a lot to light that we're not seeing in other places. We've got to take a quick...
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who's repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater.
Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers, they have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Hi, this is Dr. Phil. The new coronavirus called COVID-19 is spreading in China and beyond. While CDC is working to stop the spread of the virus, we can all play a role in stopping this deadly disease. The CDC Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting emergency response efforts in the United States and around the world. To get updates and learn how to protect friends and loved ones, find out how to help by going to cdcfoundation.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I am Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And actually, it's a funny day for me to be filling in for Ben, because I've just gotten word that the outlet Lone Conservative is doing a March Madness bracket for right-wingers. So they've got elected officials, and they've got organizations, and they've got wild cards, kind of random people, and then they've got commentators. And so I guess apparently I won a couple of rounds already. And so now in the current bracket, it's me versus Ben. And so I think this is just a great opportunity, now that I'm filling in on his national radio show, to use it to get all of you to go vote for me. So I have retweeted this. It is on my Twitter page. I'm really frustrated to tell you, Ben is currently beating me. He's got like a pretty significant lead, okay, is what I'm saying. So really, I just want to mobilize all of you. I know you're quarantined right now. You are sitting at home. You've got your phones and computers by you. Head on over to my Twitter page at Michael J. Knowles. You will see the poll. You've got to let me take this opportunity on Ben's show to try to beat him on this random Twitter poll. Okay, that is in the more unimportant news segment. We're getting a lot of important news coming out from the White House. Here's what you need to know. The tax filing deadline has now been pushed to July 15th. The U.S. border with Mexico is going to be closed to non-essential travel. That is going to be happening very quickly. President Trump's been trying to get that to happen for 3.5 years, so I guess it finally worked out for him. The U.S. border with Canada is going to be closed to non-essential travel. Trump has invoked the Defense Protection Act, so he's going to ramp up U.S. Production of medical equipment that we're going to need to fight this pandemic. Student loan payments have been suspended for 60 days. The Indiana primary election has been pushed back to June. We just saw this happen in Ohio. The primary election was pushed back. The governor forced that to happen. The judge said no in Ohio, but the governor closed the polling stations anyway. And we now see 218 deaths in the United States from coronavirus. So with all of that said, I want to put out a little public service announcement here. And that is, if you are getting hysterical, stop it. Don't do it. Do not panic. You know, I joked at the end of last segment with Dr. Pham. Dr. Pham was sort of telling us about the real medical effects of what could happen with this virus. And I said, well, you've sufficiently scared me. We got to take a quick break. I was joking, of course. He spoke to me during the break. He said, hey, don't be scared. Don't you dare be scared. There is no reason to panic. We obviously are taking this seriously. We've got this under control. So it's good to be cautious. It's good to follow the guidelines. But there is no reason to panic, okay? And I want to take that a step further and say, there's no reason ever to panic or get hysterical. Panicking never helps anything. Okay, there are people out there who want you to panic. And I've noticed it's mostly people on the left, left-wing pundits, who are encouraging others to panic. They say that if you're not panicking, you're not taking the pandemic seriously. You're not supporting public health. You're not acting responsibly, okay? The people who are telling you that are cynics and neurotics, and they are making things worse. Right now, the coronavirus death toll is 218. And now, we might say it's that low because we've taken these great precautions. For context, over 1,000 Americans had died from swine flu, from H1N1, before Barack Obama so much as publicly acknowledged it. Okay, people are seeing cases of increase here, and they think we're on the verge of civilizational collapse. We're not. Okay, the spread is tapering off virtually everywhere around the world. Viruses don't grow on a straight line or exponentially forever. Okay, they accelerate, they plateau, and they decline naturally. It doesn't matter our behavior even on that rule. That's called Farr's Law. Now, what we are changing our behavior because we want to flatten that curve. So we want to make sure that the cases are below U.S. healthcare capacity so that fewer people will die, fewer people will face intense hospitalization. That's all good. I'm not saying that we need to radically change the policies that we're pursuing, but we can change our own personal perspective here. No reason whatsoever to panic. There's always silver linings to storm clouds. We're so fortunate that we've got this mostly under control, and we're getting more and more information and good news as time goes by. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. Do not go anywhere. We've got a whole lot more to get to.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying parents for medical reasons. In other words, this means students can pursue gender transition without parents knowing about it. Permission slips are required to engage in extracurricular activities. But when it involves a student's health and well-being, folks, the CTA does not have the best interests of students at heart. In fact, it's their goal to push their agenda on vulnerable children. Please join PGI in prayer for parents and children impacted by this policy.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
PI.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show on Apple Podcasts and Google Play and Stitcher and just all over the place on YouTube. If you've got some time over the next couple weeks, I think you might. I think if you're like me, you will have some time. Then maybe go check out that show, and you can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. So things are changing by the moment. You know, President Trump has announced the tax filing deadline will now be pushed to July 15th. That's good news for a lot of people. We've just learned that the U.S. border with Mexico is going to be closed to non-essential travel. We've learned the U.S. border with Canada will be closed to non-essential travel. About time, by the way. I'm glad those Canucks aren't going to be able to come down over here anymore. This is our country. President Trump has also suspended student loan payments for 60 days. Really good news for college students, especially the ones who aren't even in college anymore because their campuses have closed. The Indiana primary election's been pushed back to June. I mean, there's just so much happening. One of the biggest stories of the day, though, and announcements from the president, is that the president will invoke the Defense Production Act of 1950. Don't know what that means? Me neither. Luckily, we've got an expert here who can tell us. We are joined now by Cully Stimson. Cully is a widely recognized expert in national security, homeland security, crime control, drug policy, and immigration, a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation since 2007. Stimson became manager of the National Security Law Program in Heritage Davis Institute for International Studies in April 2013 after serving as Heritage's chief of staff for a year. That's a lot of qualifications. Hopefully, Cully will be able to tell us what this new policy decision means. Cully, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. So I saw this headline, and I can gather, I guess, from the words, Defense Production Act, what this means, in a vague sense, that the president is now going to use the government to increase the rate of production in the United States. But what is this law? Why was it made in the first place? And why is it being invoked now?
Yeah, it has a neat history, frankly. Remember during World War II, when you see those movies or those old newsreels where car manufacturer companies and other industries in the United States stopped making their regular goods and were making tanks and airplanes and all the rest of it? Well, that
right.
was under the War Powers Act 1. Then there was a War Powers Act 2, which allowed private industry and the industries of the United States to really turn their lend their shoulders into the war effort so we could win the war. After that happened, those authorities went away, but then Korea popped up. And so the Defense Production Act was passed by Congress as a way to put in statutory language giving the president the authority to lean into the private industry and push private industry to help with the effort. Originally, it was designed, obviously, to help with national defense, but over the decades, Congress has expanded the definition of national defense, and it includes natural disasters and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the act has three operative sections now and allows the president really to address issues. It's been, by the way, Michael, it's been invoked over 40 times. So it's not a new thing that when a president invokes it. President Obama, in fact, invoked it.
You know, if you were just reading the mainstream news coverage of this today, you would think that this is the first time ever this has been invoked,
right,
probably
right.
in 70 years. And you're saying Barack Obama did it. So this is not the big news story that people are making it out to be.
Well, it's big in the sense that this virus is on everyone's mind and that the president is trying to invoke the legislative tools given to him to use. But no, I mean, President Obama invoked it back in 2014 when we just didn't have enough body armor. And so he invoked it and then went to the companies that were making it and said, make more, and here's some extra funds, and here's some other tools you can have to ramp up production. And so it's been invoked, you know, more than three dozen times. And for good reason, because, you know, when industry A or industry B just can't get the output of a widget or something, and
right.
it falls into the definition of a national defense or national tragedy, the president can push them to do it and then backfill the money so the industry is made whole.
So it seemed as though the White House was signaling that they were not going to use this, or they wouldn't be using this in the near future, just a few days ago, and now President Trump is invoking it. Why do you think that changed, and specifically, what will the administration be using this law for?
Yeah, so I'm not a public health expert. I'm just a lawyer and a military guy. But
right.
from what I understand, and I think the way to answer the question is they don't know what they don't know, to quote my old boss.
Mm.
What they don't know is how many masks they're ultimately going to need,
mm-hmm.
or how much medical equipment they're ultimately going to need, or how many ventilators they're ultimately going to need. And so more information is coming in from the states and from the localities affected by this, saying, you know, on yesterday, you know, we needed 20. Now we need 50. Now we need 70. And as you said at your opening, that information is coming very quickly.
Right.
And so I think between the president saying 2 days ago he may invoke it to the president saying he's invoking it, he's getting enough information to indicate that, especially in the medical equipment, ventilator, mask area, that the current supply and production levels aren't enough, so that those industries are going to need some help by the government to get backfilled. And other industries who can make those may be tapped to do just that and quit making what they're currently making, which also the act allows.
You know, I'd like to zoom out a little bit and get some of your legal mm-hmm. perspective here as well on these broader questions, because I'm in Los Angeles. I am now on lockdown, shelter in place. Luckily, though, and sort of incredibly, podcasting has been described as an essential service, so I guess I'm allowed to leave my apartment. I think I would probably dispute that description if podcasting is essential, but I'm glad to see it. A lot of people are writing in, though, and asking about all these government actions. If it's overreach,
yeah.
if it's illegal, if it's unconstitutional for the government to be basically saying these businesses have to shut down and you need to stay in your apartment. Do you have an opinion on that?
I do. It's actually in the Wall Street Journal today, an opinion piece that I co-authored by David Rivkin, with David Rivkin. And the answer is that the the under our federal republic, as all your listeners know, the states have police power, not the federal government.
Right.
And the state governors are charged with providing for and taking care of the health and safety of its citizens. And so way back in 1805, the Supreme Court dealt with this issue in another context, in the context of smallpox. Jacobson against Massachusetts, the Supreme Court held that Mr. Jacobson, who did not want to be vaccinated with the smallpox vaccine, which existed at the time, could be forcibly vaccinated. He decided he didn't want to do it. He got prosecuted, convicted, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can do it. That the health of the many outweighed the individual temporary rights of the few who protest. And so these state quarantine orders, these state orders to isolate, these orders orders to not congregate more than 10 people, they're valid if it is based on a viable actual public safety and public health issue, and it seems obviously that it is. So as inconvenient as it is, it's important that we comply with that to suppress and ultimately defeat the virus.
Wow, that's so interesting that it goes back all this way, because I think you've got a lot of people, and look, I feel these kind of instincts as well, who say, this is America, stop forcing me to stay in my home.
Right.
But this actually goes back very far. I want to get into that a little bit more. First, though, I've got to thank our friends over at Candid. You know, unlike braces, Candid clear aligners are comfortable, removable, and totally invisible. And I'll say this personally, I'm not some hulking Olympian Adonis of a man, okay? But I've always had a nice pearly smile, and that's always helped me get along in the world. Candid makes it so easy to fix your teeth, you know. You never have to set foot in a doctor's office or waiting room. Your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist. With other remote clear aligner options, you may never hear from a doctor. That's no good. Candid only works with experienced orthodontists, only experts in tooth movement, never general dentists. You can get a complimentary 3D scan of your teeth at a Candid studio near you. It's your simplest, freest way to get started, and you can do it all from the comfort of your own home. For a limited time, you can get started with $75 off by using code BEN, B-E-N, at CandidCo.com/Ben. That's CandidCo.com/Ben. Use code BEN for $75 off, CandidCo.com/Ben, code BEN. That's a whole lot of Ben. And I'm filling in for Ben right now, and we are speaking with Cully Stimson. Cully, first of all, I didn't realize even vaccines as a public policy matter went back that far. There's a long history in the United States, a long legal history of these public health questions butting up against individual rights.
There is. And this decision that I was referencing earlier, Jacobson against Massachusetts, majority opinion was written by Justice Harlan. And he said in a 7-2 majority, and this is important language to remember, quote, the Constitution does not import an absolute right in each person to be at all times and in all circumstances wholly freed from restraint. A community has the right to protect itself against an epidemic. And he goes on to say its members at times under the pressure of great dangers may be subjected to such restraint to be enforced by reasonable regulations as to the safety of the general public may demand, unquote. And so I think when you read the whole opinion, which I've read, first of all, it's not been overturned by the Supreme Court itself. It's never been reversed. And you look at the quarantine powers that each of the state's governors enjoy, including the right to order isolation in a situation like this, it's no fun. It's no good. it needs to end. But it also is clearly within the realm of what their legal authority is.
So that's – we're talking now about the Defense Production Act. We're talking about broadly all of these measures that have been taken specifically by the state governments here. Is there any time limit on it? Because that's what I think a lot of people are writing in about. They're saying, look, I don't mind sitting around my apartment for a week if it's going to save a lot of people's lives. But what if this thing drags on 2 months or 3 months or even more? Is there any – a limit at which point we could say, listen, government, you've exceeded your powers and you can't keep us all locked down forever?
Well, I don't think we've gotten there. And I think that everyone is hoping and praying that there's a medical breakthrough or more knowledge about other drugs that can treat the symptoms before we get to the vaccine. But look, Not only can the governors issue quarantine orders and isolation orders, they can activate their National Guard to enforce those quarantines. I certainly hope we don't get to that point.
Right.
And the president, under not only his constitutional authority, but under a particular act, which I referenced in our op-ed, can federalize the National Guards of the states and use the military, not in violation of posse comitatus, to enforce a national quarantine if we got to that point, so that people – you see these knucklehead teenagers running around the beaches in
South
Florida.
Beach, right.
Yeah, I mean, what a bunch of boneheads.
they didn't seem like they were exactly at a meeting of Mensa or anything when I was watching their videos go around the internet.
Well, we were all teenagers, right? I mean, right. I get the impulse to do spring break, but please get over it. You know, get back into your home with your parents.
Right. Something tells me there's not a whole lot of social distancing going on South Beach either, knowing what spring break is like.
No. And you know, I'm all for spring break, but come on, this is a public health crisis.
Right.
So, I mean, there are escalatory powers that the governors and the president can take if necessary to enforce these orders. I certainly hope none of us hopes we get to that point. But to answer your question, how long can it go? It can go as long as necessary to quell the public health crisis.
Wow.
That's the problem. And no one likes – I mean, we've only been at this a week.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine what it's going to feel like a month from now? I mean, talk about national cabin fever.
Right. I know. You know,
we're
I think
all feeling it after a week.
I think for the first 3 days, everyone kind of likes it because it's different. It's dangerous. It's kind of like when the lights go out during a snowstorm and you're all kind of enjoying it even while you're complaining. But by that, you know, third or fourth day, I think people are losing their minds. I texted a friend of mine. I said, hey, how are you and your husband holding up? And she said, I think we're going to kill each other before the virus ever gets to either of us. We have to take a break now. Cully Stimson. Cully, thank you so much for being here. You've really cleared up a lot, especially on the legal aspect of that. Find Cully over at the Heritage Foundation and in today's Wall Street Journal. We've got to take a quick break, but we've got so much more coming up, so do not go anywhere. We will be talking about the new decisions coming out from the White House. I mean, it seems to be changing almost by the minute. We will keep you informed. You can also find my show, by the way, while you are waiting on all of these wonderful quarantines. You can find that at Apple Podcasts and Google Play and Stitcher. And I've got to thank our friends, by the way, over at Legacy Box. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. I love it. I just used Legacy Box probably 2 weeks
ago. Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
With a place for mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in, host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast. What are Americans thinking about how President Trump has handled this crisis? If you tune into CNN or the mainstream media, probably you'd think that they're about to tar and feather the president. Actually, though, the majority of Americans approve of how he's handling this crisis. This is according to an Ipsos ABC News poll just came out. It looks like a reversal of the numbers that they found the previous week. So last week, they found that 55% disapproved of how Trump was handling it, 45% approved. Now those numbers have completely flipped. So 55% approve of how Trump is handling this. This is in line with other polls we saw earlier during the pandemic where the majority of Americans support the president. They think he's doing a good job. And actually, the dip in support seems to really have only been among Democrats, but certainly some Democrats approve of it because the majority of Americans do. The press, though, can't seem to get this lesson. And I think actually where Trump is excelling here is in his handling of the press. The press are fear-mongering. I mean, even today, there was a journalist, Peter Alexander, who was fear-mongering in the White House briefing room. He said, "Mr. President, you're putting positive spin on everything, but don't you think you're giving Americans false hope?" I mean, what a ridiculous question. Basically saying, "Hey, shouldn't everyone panic?" And Trump said, "No, that's a dumb question. You should do a better job." And he's been handling journalists like this the whole time. He actually, in the press briefing yesterday, he called them out. He said, "Wait a second, you guys are so worried about social distancing. You're all a little bit too close. Maybe we should get rid of the three quarters of you guys. Everything would be better for public health and for journalism."
Do you have any guidance for Congress? Should they?
I know all of them, and I don't know if they're sitting like you people are sitting. You're actually sitting too close. We should probably get rid of about another 75-80% of you. I'll have just two or three that I like in this room. I think that's a great way of doing it. We just figured a new way of doing it. But you're actually much too close. You know, you two, you should leave immediately. But look, I know all of them. They tested positive. Hopefully they're all going to get better. And it's one of those things. It's Congress, you know.
Love it. Love the way he's handling it. I mean, because the only people here, I actually have to hand it to some of the Democratic elected officials. They are reaching across the aisle. They're saying the president's doing a good job. We're all in this together. They're trying to tamp down the panic. It's the journalists. They're the ones. It's the mainstream media journalists who are trying to incite this panic, who are parroting Chinese communist propaganda relentlessly. They're the ones who are the problem here, and Trump's not letting them get away with it. A couple of days ago, President Trump was asked by one of the journalists in the press briefing if the phrase Kung Flu, it's one of the many puns that people have been using to refer to this, the bubonic plague or chop fluey, or just sort of jokes, right, that people are making because this virus came from China. So President Trump was asked if this is unacceptable, terrible thing to do, and he totally flipped it back on the journalist.
There are some, at least one White House official, who use the term Kung Flu, referring to the fact that this virus started in China. Is that acceptable? Is it wrong? Are you worried that having this virus be talked about as a Chinese virus, that might...
I wonder who said that. You know who said that?
I'm not sure the person's name, but would you condemn the fact...
Say the term again.
A person at the White House used the term Kung Flu. My question is, do you think that's wrong, Kung Flu? And do you think using the term Chinese virus, that puts Asian Americans at risk, that people might target them?
No, not at all. I think they probably would agree with it 100%. It comes from China. There's nothing not to agree. Okay, how about the last question?
Wow, how masterful he handles this, right? So the first thing he shows is that CNN is getting bad information, because he said, hold on, who in my administration said that? They don't know. They're saying, yeah, it was somebody. And then he moves on to the next point. He says, okay, and what did they call it? Like, as if he hadn't heard it the first time, right? What was the term? And she starts her questioning. He goes, no, just say the term. And then she says the term, and then she keeps going on. He says, no, hold on. Kung Flu? Yeah, Kung Flu. You said Kung Flu? Yeah, it was Kung Flu. So he gets this reporter, trolls her into saying this on national television in front of the president multiple times. Why? Because the premise of her question is, that term, it's racist, it's bigoted, it's like you've said the N-word, basically. And he knows that if you just hear the term, you're going to know that's ridiculous. That narrative is going to fall apart. It's just a funny term people are using. We need to laugh at something during all of this. Her idea is that, you know, Americans are going to be hurt and discriminated against. No evidence of that at all. Americans are coming together. We've got solidarity. The president, luckily, is doing a very good job. That's all the time we've got, but we will stay with you through all of this. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. See you next time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Mexico and the U.S. are restricting travel over their busy shared border as they try to control the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. President Donald Trump and Mexican Foreign Secretary Marcelo Ebrard say their governments have agreed to prohibit recreational and tourist travel. It is similar to the restrictions put in place earlier this week along the U.S. and Canadian border. There would be no ban on people traveling for work or other essential activities, and there would be no halt to commercial traffic. U.S., Mexico, and Canada have also worked out an agreement to immediately return people trying to cross the borders illegally. President Trump lashed out at some reporters during his daily coronavirus task force briefing.
The daily briefing turned contentious when the president was asked what message he would have for frightened Americans watching at home.
I say that you're a terrible reporter. That's what I say.
And it escalated from there.
That's really bad reporting. And you ought to get back to reporting instead of sensationalism.
Later in the same briefing, Vice President Pence was asked the same question. What's your message to Americans who are scared?
I would say, do not be afraid, be vigilant.
Greg Clugston, Washington.
The business of government by the judicial branch is continuing in the wake of the coronavirus. Here is correspondent Keith Peters, who files this report.
The Supreme Court reports that the nine justices are healthy and trying to stay that way. Court spokeswoman Kathy Arberg says that when the court held its regularly scheduled private conference Friday morning, some of the justices participated remotely, and those who were in the building did not engage in the tradition of shaking hands. Arberg wouldn't say who showed up in person. She says the court also plans to issue opinions Monday in cases argued during the fall and winter without taking the bench. The last time that happened was when the court decided Bush versus Gore late in the evening of December 12, 2000. Keith Peters, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
It was my first time meeting Jesus in the Bible. That's what one student is saying after studying bibliology through the Tony Evans Training Center, taught by renowned theologian, Dr. Tony Evans. These online courses feature compelling and exclusive video and audio teaching, plus an interactive scripture-based curriculum you can access online or through the mobile app. Sign up now at TonyEvansTraining.org. Take a course with Dr. Evans and explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
A growing number of U.S. grocery stores are offering seniors-only shopping hours to reduce coronavirus exposure for elderly customers. Here's correspondent Shelley Adler with the report.
San Jose-based Zanotto's Family Markets have made the change. Fred Zanotto is the owner.
What we're trying to do is making sure that the seniors have a safe location to shop because it becomes a madhouse after a certain time. So the first hour we've given to them as seniors-only. We try and have the store spotless before they come in.
Georgia Lee came to shop at Zanotto's after going to a crowded supermarket a few days earlier.
People are hoarding everything, so there's hardly anything on the shelves. So I thought I'd have a better choice here rather than trying to find the regular markets. And I wanted to get some good meat and vegetables, and they were well stocked here.
I'm Shelley Adler.
News and analysis at townhall.com. A pair of former Los Angeles running backs have found new homes. Here's correspondent Bruce Morton.
Todd Gurley now plays for the Atlanta Falcons. This after the team announced a one-year, $6 million deal with the running back, and it came less than 24 hours after Gurley was released by the Los Angeles Rams. Dogged by an injury to his left knee, Gurley must first pass a physical before the deal becomes official. Meanwhile, former Chargers running back Melvin Gordon has agreed to a two-year, $16 million deal with the Denver Broncos. The contract makes his annual salary the fourth highest among NFL running backs. I'm Bruce Morton.
Stocks sank to their worst week since the financial crisis of 2008 as traders went into full retreat out of fear that the coronavirus will plunge the U.S. and other major economies into deep recessions. The Dow Industrials dropped more than 900 points. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
We're going to back the airlines 100%. It's not their fault. It's nobody's fault, unless you go to the original source. But it's nobody's fault. And we're going to be in a position to help the airlines very much.
Why do you have to say original source? Why can't you just say it's not China's fault and support the communist authoritarian regime in Beijing like we do? Oh... Well, happy Friday, huh? It's been an interesting week, I guess we could safely say. Whack-a-doodle-doo. I know that everyone is doing the right thing, the smart thing. I know no one's freaking out. But everyone's being smart. Well, not everyone, but, you know, almost everyone. We're at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number here. And there are so many things that have happened since last we convened a mere 21 hours ago. It's honestly, it's like trying to swim up Niagara Falls every day. It's an extraordinary news universe we've created for ourselves. Most of the news is, kind of what we expected, I suppose. And there are some big things going on. 888-630-9625. The number of U.S. positive tests for the coronavirus, and I believe this is positive and presumed positive tests, has topped 10,000. Now, what was it yesterday? It was 8,000, I think, yesterday. It's jumped, and now we have, interestingly, 10,000 testing positive, allegedly, in the United States. The number is growing by leaps and bounds. We now have 10,000 dead worldwide. The word number 10,000 pops up twice today in the headlines. Once that we have passed the 10,000 mark with testing positive in the United States, or presumptive positive, and the other 10,000 figure is, they're telling us that 10,000 dead worldwide. China is putting out all kinds of reports that they've passed the peak and they're on the downslope and they're not seeing a lot of new cases. And in some areas, they're seeing no new cases. The problem is they're communists, so you can't believe them because communists lie all the time. You know, look at Bernie Sanders and a whole lot of them. But that's a problem. At the same time, they're putting out information saying that their mortality rate, now that they look at things, scratching their heads, now that they look at things again, turns out their mortality rate was much lower than they had originally thought, the Chinese are saying. One, the same hiccup right there, and that is that nobody believes them because they're communists and they lie all the time. So that's a problem. It really is. California has gone to a stay-at-home order. The governor there, Gavin Newsom, has ordered the entire state of California. I think they lay claim to 40 million people these days in the state of California. Told them all to stay home, which ought to lead to interesting things, I guess. A friend of mine the other day said, if you're in San Francisco, can you still go outside your house and go down to the sidewalk to go to the bathroom? And that's unclear. We're going to have to get some clarification on that. Marijuana stores are essential and must remain open, or at least may remain open, because the people of California need to get stoned, forget about their problems, and watch Netflix. Netflix. And Netflix is being asked to slow down the speed of their streaming because it uses up so much of the Internet that it might crush vital medical elements on the Internet that the world and America needs right now. It's a fascinating world. It's interconnected. And it's a big tug of war. You got a push-me-pull-you thing going on all day. The Democrats and the media see this really as an opportunity to get Trump. That's the way they're playing it from start to finish. The news media is just such a monumental disgrace. It really is. It's tragic. There was a great moment it's not good for all of us at this critical time either, because really to them it's still the same as it was a month ago, and it's get Trump. Their job is to get Trump. The job of their organization is to get Trump. As individuals, it's to get Trump. And forget about this whole virus thing. We've put you back on that death gel project, and it's time to get Trump. It's just about getting Trump. Amazing, amazing stuff. This young woman with reporter with One America News, OAN, you're familiar with this? Chanel Rion, I believe is her name. And she asked a question at the White House briefing yesterday of the president that was pretty darn funny. And the news media is all upset, and they left menacing, intimidating. There was a note left on her desk at the White House, probably Jim Acosta, you know who he is. And they printed it up so there'd be no handwriting. They're creepy. They're like Bolsheviks. They're like Soviets. They should wear uniforms. They should definitely be wearing armbands at this point so we can tell who they are in a crowd. But Chanel Rion, I believe is the correct pronunciation of her name, who is a Korean American. her grandparents, Korean. I read a little bit about her, and she is and she's a proud pro-American conservative. And she asked the president yesterday, since you say Chinese virus is racist, all the news media in the White House so-called press corps, she asked, is Chinese food racist? Do you think the term Chinese food is racist because it's food that, you know, the origin is China? I mean, when you call it, it doesn't, it's the, you know, and you have it delivered, it doesn't actually come from China, you know, in one step. But originally, long ago, the General Cao, you see, he's not from California, although he could be at this point. And it's just amazing. It's great stuff. We have the audio, and we'll play it for you. Who is it? It's de Blasio is saying that the federal government should get out of the way and the military should take over. These people are dangerous communist leftists. They are a movable famine. They are the third world on wheels. We would be Argentina in the 70s. We would be Venezuela in a heartbeat if we gave Democrats total control. And, you know, those empty shelves, they would be a permanent feature of America. The empty streets, the jobless numbers, the number of people not going to work would become a permanent feature of the United States of America. And they're kind of hoping, I think, that that will carry the day. I was taking in some left-wing media this morning. It's my job. I have to. And these lefties are proposing renter subsidies because renters tend to be less affluent than people that own their homes. I'm sure that's true. And now's the time for the left to jump in and sink their teeth and their claws into giant government programs that they have designs on them. And then they will never go away when this crisis passes, which is their plan all the time. It's what they do. Remarkable stuff. Now, China says they're 95% contained, but nobody believes them. President Trump took a shot at them yesterday, and the news media is just, they are the Communist China Defense League, the White House press corps and the American news media in Washington and New York in particular. God, they're corrupt. It's absolutely extraordinary and constantly fascinating how corrupt they are. Even Mo Yarbrough, Joe Scarborough of the Pigeon Sisters, on DNC TV, Morning Joke is the name of his little cable show. Even he yesterday, we had some of the audio yesterday but didn't play it. We have more of it today because it was crazier than I thought. Joe Scarborough admitting that the American news media are water carriers for the communist Chinese, and he's a little puzzled, a little befuddled by their collaboration with, you know, and I was talking to my friend Vince this morning who made a fun point. Is this the same news media that attacked the president of the United States for 2.5 years for his alleged collusion with Russia, and because Russia was tampering in our election with, what, like $100,000 in Facebook ads or something like that? Is that what it was? Never mind all the Ukraine stuff and Alexandra Chalupa and the embassy and, you know, the Joe Biden son. Never mind all that. News media sees they have no interest in any of that because they're fantastically corrupt. And they're just slaves for the Democrat Party. They love it. They love being slaves to the Democrat Party. But this is the same news media. I was like, Russia meddled in our election. They bought $100,000 in Facebook. Yeah, that's foreign meddling. Now, look at the impact that China has had on the world. And look at the news media. Look at the impact they've had. The Democratic, not the fix was already in for Biden anyway, so canceling the Ohio primary last week doesn't matter. But it was canceled. That's because of a virus that came out of China that they concealed and they lied about, and they told the World Health Organization in mid-January could not be transmitted from human to human. So everybody let our guard down around the world because, you know, if you can't believe the communist Chinese, who can you believe? And the New York Times certainly believes them, and CNN certainly believes them, and the Democrats and the United Nations and the World Health Organization under the umbrella of the UN certainly believe them, but pay no attention to any of that. So lots of Bill Kristol and Trump-hating Republicans put out an anti-Trump attack ad this morning, and I saw it on Fox News this morning. And it's just and it's really outrageous. It is a classic demonstration of serial out of context editing. It's like NBC News did it. It's almost that bad. not quite, but almost that. I mean, it is that bad. And Bill Kristol, I got to tell you, I know you're angry with Trump, but this is really this is what you're dedicating your resources to. It's paid for by Republicans who hate Trump or something like that. And it's each and every example is that's out of context edit. That's out of context edit. That's an out of context edit. And I only saw it once today on the internet. I on Fox News. I glanced at it on the internet, but I didn't watch it all the way through. The G7 meeting upcoming will be a teleconference now instead of being in person. It's remarkable. Amazon has put a pause. I didn't even know they delivered food and groceries. Did you know that? I didn't know that. But they've stopped, just in case you're, that's great. They've paused because they need to restock, what with the footing that we're on now. All Americans abroad have been instructed to come home now if they're abroad. Otherwise, plan on staying out for a long period of time. And the president has released a big plan with lots and lots of money. And now the Senate and McConnell introducing another $1 trillion deal, another $1 trillion deal. And it's quite remarkable. We're going to be distributed is probably the right word, or redistributed. And all kinds of other changes have taken place. Insurance companies are going to waive co-payments on tests for the dread Wuhan Red Death virus. NBA and Major League Baseball are going to help out. They're going to sponsor and subsidize the hourly employees at arenas and stadiums, which is nice, but they ought to do it. They make an awful lot of money and might as well be nice to the beer vendors and all the other people that work to make the games come off. Cable TV, no late fees. A lot of this is because the federal government and the Trump administration are meeting with and asking what they can kick in, what they can offer. And a lot of industries and companies are offering up things, whether they will be life-changing for you or not. Cable TV, no late fees, no cutoff. They won't cut your cable off for 60 days if you don't pay your bill. So that's, for college kids or something like that. And, of course, we know Walmart and Target and CVS and Walgreens are opening up their parking lots and so on to create test centers with tents and so on if governors want to use them that way. All kinds of companies doing nice things. There are distilleries that have stopped, this could be dangerous, that have stopped distilling spirits, that is to say liquor, and they are making sanitizer in their vats instead. So now, when you get your whiskey in a 20-year-old French wine barrel or a sherry barrel or something like that, soon you'll be able to get your whiskey in a croisoned in a hand sanitizer barrel. But we'll see how that comes out. And a horrible, tragic story out of New Jersey, a family, a nice big Italian family with lots of kids, grown-up kids. Four members of the family have died from the coronavirus. Three more are in intensive care in one family, one household in New Jersey, and it's just horrifying. It's staggering, and it is it's a flare in the sky. The medical professionals, forget about the corrupt news media and political hacks, but the legitimate news people have been warning about this coming spike and how it's going to multiply and compound and increase exponentially. And we are, in fact, seeing some of that. Actually, the number now, I apologize, 14,000 in America allegedly testing positive. Yesterday it was 10,000. And we are, day five of the 15-day, which will be extended in all probability, but we're talking about a 15-day stand down in America. We're in day five. Don't think that it won't be extended, because it will. Italy, deaths have more than, now more than China. In Italy, more people have died of the dread virus than in China. New York Magazine, their cover today is scrawled in black magic marker, is "Don't Panic" with the word "don't" crossed out. I believe they're suggesting it's time to panic. Fear not, I think it's already happening. The entire state of California has been ordered to stay indoors. Lots and lots of things. O.J. Simpson is in the news. It has to do with the virus. We might just want to lock him up just in case for a while till this thing passes. And your calls, 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Greg, I'm so sorry to hear about your brother's heart attack.
Thanks. He's okay now, but it really got me thinking about my family. You know, could my wife still pay our mortgage if I had a heart problem? Or could my kids still go to college?
Now, that is really scary. Yeah, you should call my life insurance agent at Health IQ. When I got life insurance for my family last year, they saved me 41% versus any other company I looked at.
41%? That's huge.
Yep. Health IQ starts by shopping everyone with the top 30 life insurance carriers to make sure they can get the lowest retail rate. Then they apply their exclusive healthy lifestyle savings, which can save you up to 41%. I literally got $1 million in coverage for my family for just $36 a month.
Just $36 a month?
Yep. You should check it out at healthiq.com/easy.
To save that much money, I'm going to call them right now. What's that link again? healthiq.com/easy?
Yep, healthiq.com/easy.
Napa Know How.
Right now, only at Napa, AAA members get a 20% discount. So you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 3/31.
Get to Kohl's and stack the savings with an extra 15% off. Save on Shark vacuums. Get 50% off Serta memory foam pillows and mattress toppers. And save on kids' apparel. Plus, take $10 off your kids' sale purchase of $50 or more. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, get it in 1 hour or less with buy online, free store pickup Friday through Sunday at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Offers valid March 13th to 22nd. 10 off 50 kids with promo code KIDS10. 15% off with promo code CHARM15. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and try it for free. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can try Babbel for free. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com and try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Mannion was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the words he spoke before his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Mannion Foundation. And through TMF, these words can live in you too. Show the world what you're made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisMannion.org.
The Washington Examiner has the headline, "Keep Them Open," in quotation marks. O.J. Simpson warns he'll go crazy if golf courses close. What would be the first indication? Maybe grab a big knife or something, put on gloves. How can we tell? O.J. Simpson said he would go crazy if he can't play golf because of the coronavirus pandemic. The 72-year-old former NFL star and actor, is that really that's the first line? Who was found not guilty of murdering his wife in one of the highest profile court cases in American history, said the government would need to open up some insane asylums if quarantine measures continued. In a tweet posted on Thursday that contained the text, "Keep them open. A lot of people need them. I know if I can't play golf for the next month, I'm going to go crazy." That's what he said. He's going to go crazy. God knows we don't want that, because we've seen what happens. Simpson pleaded not guilty to the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and all that stuff. If you're home, who has that? I think Netflix has that, People versus O.J. Simpson. If you're locked up at home, it's a miniseries. It's a lot of fun. It's fun for the whole family. He's obviously guilty of murdering his wife and nearly severing her head with that big knife and cutting his hand through the leather glove and the Bruno Mali shoes with the bloody footprints and wearing them on the football. You know, everybody remembers that, right? But he might go crazy, which is, that proves he's a Democrat, I guess. What makes you think you're not already crazy? 18,000 pounds of toilet paper found in stolen truck. ABC7. An investigation is underway after a stolen 18-wheeler with nearly 18,000 pounds of commercial bathroom paper. Bathroom paper, it's called. Found in North Carolina. It's a racket, you know. It's like the Kennedy family running molasses.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with the peace of mind that your vehicle's in top operating condition. Add to that
that. Free fluid top-offs. Now that is service. And we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palocedrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
She's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society advocate and the mother of a child who battled blood cancer.
Zach was diagnosed with AML, a deadly leukemia, when he was only 5. While the treatment really attacked the cancer, unfortunately it also attacked his body. Uncontrollable fevers, terrible nosebleeds, and his skin was burned from the inside out. He died at just 9 years old, really from the treatment that was meant to save him.
The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was founded 70 years ago by parents who also lost their child to cancer. Today, we're pioneering breakthrough treatments for kids with cancer.
We are so close to finding better treatments for kids with cancer. So it's too late to save Zach, but working together, we can save thousands of kids just like him.
Visit lls.org and save a child's life.
We'll get your calls shortly. Thanks for holding, and thanks for listening to the Chris Plant Show.
I think for some of the older guys that golf is their only exercise, I think it's going to hurt them if you start closing all the golf courses. I'm just saying, and if you do close them, you better open up some insane asylum. Get me a bed, because I know if I can't play golf for the next month, I'm going to go crazy.
You murdered your wife and Ron Goldman, didn't you? That's O.J. He might go crazy, and we don't want that. It's like Lon Chaney Jr. in The Wolfman. Got to shackle him to a radiator or something until this coronavirus thing is over. Might go crazy because he can't swing golf clubs. He loves swinging metal implements, doesn't he? I got a couple of pieces of news media audio. You have those two pieces that we were... the second one is NBC, this guy Keir Royale. His name's Keir Simmons. But the first one is Sig Heilemann. You know, Sig Heilemann, he's an MSNBC fascista. And his best buddy and coworker was remember, Mark Halperin, the groper, gropey McGropeface. They were buddies and partners. Be a buddy, be a pal. And they're not anymore, I guess, because what, the Gropian is rubbing himself on all the women. So you want to be a political reporter, huh? I'm the gatekeeper. And ABC loved him for it, and then NBC loved him for it. And now Sig Heilemann. His friends call him Sig. He is... Now, this is the news media's coverage of the coronavirus. They go around doing what they always do, screaming in everybody's face that you're all racists, and they're not. So it's kind of... Here's Sig Heilemann. I really wish that Germany would keep stepping up and causing all the world wars and all the viruses of the world. But every now and then we gotta let some other people in on the virus action and stuff. Sig Heilemann's pretty upset that this thing came out of China, and I don't know if he's getting paychecks from communist China or if he just automatically voluntarily licks them up and down with his freshly shaven tongue. Sig Heilemann.
The president says, no, this is not racist at all, when, of course, it's nakedly racist and obviously racist and blatantly racist. I ask you, is this not the most predictable thing in the world, that for Donald Trump it wouldn't be enough to go to war against the virus? He would be all the better if the war could be waged against a virus that he can pin on a non-white population and pin on a population and a country that is one of our economic adversaries, that plays right down the middle of his kind of xenophobic populist foreign policy.
That's right, xenophobic racist. Well, I wish all viruses came from Germany or France or something, but sometimes that just can't be arranged, Sig. I know you're a little upset. They got their hackles up. They really need to defend communist China at every possible turn. And it's an opportunity. It's kind of a twofer for them. They can defend communist China and attack President Trump, and really it's a threefer, and call everybody racist, because God knows the party of lynching and the Klan, they're not racist. That, sure, they exterminate 40% of the black population in America, but that's not real racism. The real racism is saying, you know, that virus came from China. See, that's the real problem. But Sig, it's kind of funny. If you call Sig's cell phone number, there's not an outgoing message, like not a verbal one. It's just, I guess you're supposed to know to leave a message after you hear this. Din 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 dum. They're handmaidens. It's almost impossible to believe how extraordinarily corrupt these people are. And Sig Heilemann is among them. And then they got this guy, Keir Royale, Keir Simmons. He's with NBC News. He's apparently a British guy, or he's adopted a British accent. Some of them do that, too, because they're weird and their brains don't work very well. They're ashamed to be Americans and things. I think this guy might actually be British. And he's an NBC News correspondent. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers. And he's thankful that the Chinese and the Koreans were there to save us from a fate worse than the one that we're experiencing now.
China and South Korea and those Asian countries, Hoda, may have helped Western Europe and America by delaying the arrival of the coronavirus here, but now they are worrying that they may get reinfected by the coronavirus from the rest of the world.
Is he at the Le Mans? What was with the racetrack guy? He's praising an NBC News. Communist China is receiving high praise from their correspondents around the world for helping Western Europe and the United States. They helped us by delaying the virus. See? Now, that's a lie. They didn't delay the virus. They delayed telling us about it. They delayed letting the world know about it. They delayed letting the world know that it is communicated from human to human. They delayed telling the truth about it. They delayed giving truthful numbers about it. They didn't delay the virus getting anywhere. They would have cut off travel if they had looked at. And so that's what you get from NBC News, is that we should be grateful to communist China because they helped, that's the word that he used, by delaying the virus, see? Which, reminded me, I saw this morning, and I said, well, kind of like that Chinese guy in Tiananmen Square slowed down that tank. Well, he slowed it down a little. You know, they had to get out and use a garden implement to sort of wedge the pieces out of him from between the tank treads. It made a weird noise when they're traveling on the cobblestones. You could hear the bones crunching in there and stuff. You know, so it they did, he did. That guy, he delayed the tank slightly. The tank, he stopped. Remember, he went to do a little turn, and the guy moved in front. So he delayed that tank. Then they killed several thousand people, but that's okay.
May have helped Western Europe and America by delaying the arrival of the coronavirus.
Right, Marty. Yeah, it delayed. Really helpful, eh, chums? Yeah. Anyone else tired of marching up and down the yard? What are you? This is our news media. And at this critical time, they're praising China and condemning the United States. And we're racist because if you mention that this Chinese Wuhan communist flu comes from China, these people really get their crooked noses bent out of joint. It's amazing to me what they get upset about. They're more upset about that than they are about the virus killing people. They genuinely and legitimately are more upset about violations of the rules of political correctness. And there's nothing even politically correct. It's like yesterday, the Kung Flu fighting. Everybody was Kung Flu fighting at the White House day before yesterday. You know, it's a little joke. Pull your heads out of one another's dark and remote locations and call the conga line to an end here. This is, it's a little joke. Kung Flu. There was a TV show called Kung Flu. There's a martial art called Kung Flu. They come from China, you know, the martial artists of Kung Flu. And so it's a play on words. And it really, oh, it's an outrageous and egregious offense against the world and society. And it's racist and it's... I mean, you people really need to get brain scans, you know, after this crisis is over, because the hospitals are kind of busy right now. And I suspect they're not going to find much anyway. It's kind of like a squirrel in a little race car doing laps around the inside of your cranium. These people are truly nutty. Nutty. That's our news media. Also, wonderful piece that Michael Piercy pulled up, and this is just great. Wait a minute, what is the date on this? What is the date on this thing here?
February 1st.
It's February 1st. Sometimes when you print these things, the date goes away, and also the writer goes away. But in this case, the Washington Post, Lenny Bernstein, a great conductor of the New York Philharmonic. Lenny Bernstein. It's not really Leonard Bernstein. It's just some other guy. Lenny Bernstein, typing on behalf of the crazy left, wrote on February 1st in the Washington Post, he wrote, "Get a grip, America. The flu is a much bigger threat than coronavirus, comma, for now." Well, that's the headline in the Washington Post on February 1st. And this is now they look back and say, why wasn't Trump doing more? And the Washington Post was saying, the flu's a much bigger threat. And now retroactively, you sure, they were calling him a xenophobe for shutting down travel in and out of China on January 31st. The World Health Organization, the United Nations, was quoting Chinese officials on January 14th, saying that the virus could not be transmitted from human to human. That's helpful. That's one of the ways they slowed it down. You know what they slowed down? They slowed down the world's reaction. They slowed down our ability to respond to it. But if you watch Sig Heilemann with his party armband on Morning Joke, they all wear armbands now, don't they? I think they do. And it's just absolutely berserk, just crazy, crazy. Let's go to Joe Scarborough because we have more Joe. We're from the very same television show. And that's all it is, by the way. And these people are just awful. But yesterday, I didn't get to it. There's a lot to get to yesterday. There's a lot to get to today. There's got to be a lot to get to tomorrow, and it's Saturday. But I'll be doing it. We'll get back together on Monday. Joe Scarborough yesterday was kind of expressing his own personal astonishment at the way that the news media is sucking up to communist China. It was truly amazing.
It's confounding to me that the New York Times yesterday wrote an article talking about the, quote, Chinese model, that this is going to be a big propaganda win for China. The Chinese model. Foreign Affairs this morning has an article out talking about how this is a great opportunity for China to expand its influence across Europe and the rest of the world, Africa and the rest of the world. But as you pointed out, this virus started in China.
Racist, ding, 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 ding. That just proves he's a communist. Joe Scarborough very upset yesterday morning at the news media propping up and supporting the communist Chinese propaganda, which and New York Times and many others oh, this is a great opportunity for communist China to expand their inhuman totalitarian influence in Europe and around the rest of the world, just like they have in Africa and parts of the Caribbean. Joe Scarborough.
I had a friend, a liberal friend, send me a video from Vox.com weeks ago about wet markets in China. People should really look into that. Then the Chinese government lied. They covered up.
No.
They destroyed test results.
No.
Remember the whistleblower?
Yep.
That got in trouble for being a whistleblower, talking about this coronavirus, trying to warn the world about it, and then he died from the coronavirus himself. The lies continued.
Wow, Joe, I can't believe that you're saying these terrible things about your lord and masters in communist China. Wow. Amazing stuff. Joe Scarborough. And he's calling him out. Yeah, no, he had to stop it. And his, you know, flotation device was sitting next to him, making strange grunting noises every now and then, as though she understood what was being said, when, you know, she really doesn't. There are pinwheels in her eyes.
It's pretty staggering that as we talk about propaganda wars, that there are actually people like the New York Times talking about the, quote, Chinese model, that somehow the Chinese are going to be the big benefactors of something that they were in large part responsible for. And again, don't throw tomatoes at me. That's what the after-action reports are going to show. It's just extraordinary what I'm reading in the Times, what I'm reading in Foreign Affairs.
Even he is shocked at the media's submission, voluntary submission to communist China and their propaganda efforts to frame the United States as the bad actor in this. And how dare you say that, how dare you use the word China when you're talking about this Wuhan Chinese virus experience? Ding, 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 ding. Willie Geist is a loyal Democrat party figure insinuated into the news media. And he observed, yes, hey, since Joe's saying this, maybe I could just tell a little bit of truth, too.
History is being rewritten very quickly. This all just happened in December and January. And I'll say it again, the Chinese government, they tamped this down because they're an authoritarian government, because they silenced doctors and whistleblowers. They destroyed evidence. They lied to the World Health Organization. That's not a model you want to follow.
I assume they're going to be suspended for this behavior, for this conduct. But as that, wait a minute, you guys, for like 3 minutes, you told the truth yesterday. Today they're back on program, and it's all Trump's fault. Joe Scarborough yesterday talking about Western media.
Western media outlets have to be far more careful in, because I'm seeing a surge from the New York Times. I'm seeing other articles where they are literally taking the word of Chinese authorities. Despite what's happened over the past 3 months, despite the lying, despite the cover-ups, despite the destruction of records.
Now, all of this took place in about 3 minutes. And MSNBC was like, how did this happen? Willie, why did you agree with him? This is outrageous. They should all be suspended. A little, they screwed up. They accidentally told the truth for just about 2 minutes. I wanted to share with you. Then they got back to 24 hours attacking and blaming Trump.
I would not bring this up normally, because China
obviously,
and the United States have to work together now to get through this crisis that did begin in China.
China.
With Western media outlets so recklessly moving forward, I don't know exactly why they're doing it, but they're showing a hell of a lot more skepticism towards Western governments right now than they are towards the Chinese authorities that actually spread this through their cover-ups, through their lies. I don't understand it.
He doesn't understand it. Well, you should listen to my show. Then he'd understand it. It's you. You're the disease. Yeah, you're not the virus. We had the lefty yesterday saying humanity is the disease. The virus is the cure. He thinks he's, well, that was Sylvester Stallone, wasn't it? What was that? Yeah, Cobra. You're the disease. I'm the cure. Stallone.
Sure.
Well, he'll never make the same mistake again. I'm sure he had to assure Phil Griffin and the management at MSNBC that he will never do that again. because he erred. And, you know, Comcast has a lot of business with China. They might have to let him go. Probably suspend him for 2 days. He'll be back on Monday.
I would not bring this up normally.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Get to Kohl's and stack the savings with an extra 15% off. Save on Shark vacuums. Get 50% off Serta memory foam pillows and mattress toppers. And save on kids' apparel. Plus, take $10 off your kids' sale purchase of $50 or more. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, get it in 1 hour or less with buy online, free store pickup Friday through Sunday at Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Offers valid March 13th to 22nd. 10 off 50 kids with promo code KIDS10. 15% off with promo code CHARM15. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents. Doug.
Welcome to Burger Palace. What would you like today?
Yes, I'd like to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
This is Burger Palace. Do you want any food?
Yes, one palace party meal.
No, Limu, they won't put insects on a burger.
No, you can't talk to the manager.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Does your child have dreams? Some babies are born with SCID, a serious defect of the immune system. Fortunately, my daughter Lily was screened, diagnosed, treated, and cured. With newborn screening, Lily and every child can have a lifetime of dreams.
All newborns need to be screened for SCID. A simple test may save your baby's life. Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. To learn more, talk to your doctor or visit our website at info4pi.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
My friend Marty says every time I mention the Wuhan Red Death, it reminds him of his favorite red soup at a Chinese restaurant in New York on Broadway. Every time I say Wuhan Red Death, he gets hungry, good and hungry. let's take a phone call. Let's go to Bob calling from the great state of Maryland. Bob, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Yes, I apologize. Line one, yes.
Hopefully this call isn't. Hello, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Yes, because hopefully this call isn't traced because my phone was made in China. But I teach at a school where there's lots of kids of Chinese diplomats, and I noticed about a month, long before they closed the school, that they were absent. And I was thinking that the upper level of the Chinese government kind of put the word out to their diplomats and said, hey, this is a lot worse. That's why I don't believe them when they say, oh, our cases are much lower. I'm like, I don't believe you. Because I think that you suppress the information. There's already evidence they suppress the information. And I think they only let the top layers of their government know how bad it really was.
So you are an employee, a teacher, or an administrator at an exclusive and lovely private school in the Washington metropolitan area. Is that right?
Could be private or could be public. I'm trying to be vague on purpose.
No, of course, of course. And I'd like to help you do that. And there are lots of students there that are Chinese, and their
Correct.
Parents are diplomats or industry or whatever. There's a lot
right.
of that going on in this area. And all the kids, like, poof, like a magic trick, like the Express.
Well, not all of them, but there was a significant number, and I just kind of thought it was strange, but the parents really weren't giving a good reason for them being absent other than they're kind of just staying home for the time being. And one child sent an email, oh, by the way, I'm going to be doing my schooling from home. And this is like long before they closed the school.
Wow. That's very interesting.
I think they know how bad it is. I think they know how bad it is.
And that word was getting back to people here and getting to the embassy and getting out into the community, as we say. And they were pulling
right.
their kids out of school because they didn't want their kids to be in crowds.
That's right. And by the way, I don't know if you remember, I called you about a few years ago when Kathleen Matthews got up in my face and said, he never said thrill, he said chill, because I shouted to Chris as he was walking by me at a baseball game.
I remember the call very well, yes. I've told of your call, in fact.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.